Well, he's amazed that you have my life on the board.
City Community Dialogue, March 28, 1969. Agenda: Minority Ethnic Representation and Employment by Public Agencies.
Sit there for a while, which was good. And at that moment, several good ideas came out. I tried to make notes of some of those things in the office, and we'll try to follow up on some of them. One of the things that came out of it was, and I noticed the statement is beautiful here, it says, some of the news media said, tell us what to do, and we will tell us specifically how and what to do. So, some have agreed to sit down and draw up a kind of total list presentation on what it is that we're asking the media to do. And that should be forthcoming sometime soon. One such person has come in, Chaka, who was concerned about today's meeting, for whom I was trying to wait. That is, some of the others would ask specifically about the employment. Art is here, of course. On the last page, you will notice also, for today, the final comment suggests that the Board of Education representatives be asked again to the dialogue before equal appointment. The chair directed agenda committee to consider analysis of city report of minorities and city positions for future dialogue. Civil service representatives should be asked to participate. That's the meeting today. We have several votes from the different employment areas and agencies here, those that were invited. Those that were invited are, on your agenda, City of San Diego, County of San Diego State College, University of San Diego, and San Diego Unified School District. We have here representatives of the city, the county, state college, University of California. I don't think.
Yeah.
Did we get the
Unified School District?
Yeah, I see. And San Diego Unified School District. Also, I see. So we are in good shape, it seems to me. Now, for those that are here for the first time, or the second time, our purpose here is to try to explore dimensions of whatever topic we're discussing. This is 1 year later, as it were, with civil service commissions, civil service agencies. So what we should be looking at today, it seems to me, is a little different from the way we've been covering items for the first time. So I've changed directions. Rather, I've changed one facet to try to give us greater direction 1 year later. This time I have gone to the board first instead of during the session and tried to indicate areas that we might take up so as to move on and come out with some suggestions or ideas about what ought to be done. Since we have covered many areas, we're going to cover some of them again today, obviously. So for those who are here for the first time or the second time, should the conversation, the dialogue seem to go off in tangents, you're right. Should it seem to be confusing at times, you're right. Should it seem to be attacking an individual at times, you're right. But one of the rules of this is that we don't let individuals stay under that attack. We talk to the issues involved. I'm trying to suggest those for the first time, this is the nature of a dialogue. Don't lose your cool, or if you do, regain it soon, and go on with trying to plow through what one of our big problems is today. We're going to look at employment. May I first ask those that are here representing the groups to identify themselves, and maybe some more should be at the table. No, we don't have any place at the table. Would we start with the City of San Diego, please?
Bud Biggie, Personnel Director.
Mildred Waite, Civil Service Commission.
Ralph Pond, Civil Service.
A little louder off, please.
Ralph Pond, Civil Service.
San Diego.
Regular City Manager's Office.
Stuart Sweat, Deputy City Attorney.
We have a lot of people from the city today.
Good.
County?
Clayton Swanson, County Personnel Director.
Anybody with you, Clayton?
No, I'm in.
By yourself? You gonna take all this fire by yourself?
I'll take it.
San Diego State College?
Ernie O'Byrne, Vice President for Administration.
By yourself, Ernie?
Yes.
Gonna take all this fire by yourself?
Yeah, I'm ready.
University of California? Someone called up and said the one man who could answer questions and give us insight is out of town. Zach Douglas, the newly appointed man, assistant to the dean there in terms of employment, is out of town and could not send somebody else today. Five, school district.
Fred Foster, personnel division.
All right, we don't have any places for you unless you can pull up a chair here. We need one of you certainly at the table, I should think. Why don't you pull up a chair, one of you, somebody. Yeah. Does that bring everybody to the table who's reporting in some manner today? No, I think that gets somebody from all of the once again, this is 1 year later with some of these agencies that we should be able to pick up and move right on through. It's open now to get started. Again, on the board is for some kind of direction so we can get specific areas out of the way as we go down. I'm not suggesting that you organize all of your thinking now in little cubicles. It doesn't work that way. This is simply to try to guide us through this maze today and come out with suggestions, specifics, and where we can go after we take a look at the picture and see if we can make some points today in terms of where to go and what can be done. On the agenda, the first is classification. May I ask an agenda member if you will tell us what you had in mind as you met to look at classification? One of you who attended? Glenn, do you want to take that?
Well, I think that primarily what we were thinking of was in what specific classifications are there minority group employees? Are they all in a certain department, or are they all in the lower classifications, this type of thing, basically?
Okay. Categories-wise.
Right.
This is in my concern to the overall dialogue, not necessarily to the subject. And this is for the record, too.
The lobby.
This is for the record, so the Citizens Integration Committee might record what's happening. Those persons who are here for the first time perhaps have not been involved before in dialogue, nor to exchange ideas and attitudes of other people. But it was not specifically meant for persons of certain agencies, such as the school board would report on one day, the civil service would report another day. The intent was to sensitize or give sensitivity or an understanding to all public agencies within the city of San Diego, mainly the mayor's office, the manager's office, members of the city council, and school board members, not persons who work for the school board. However, it has dropped off and changed the complete atmosphere, and sometimes I wonder whether or not we're accomplishing what we had intended to do. This was not to be set up. If we wanted persons to come and make a specific report concerning the procedures that they had, we could do that easily through another agency which the CIC has set up, which is called the Employment Task Force. We could take care of that. This is not an employment task force here. It was designed for understanding, more or less like sensitivity of getting an idea and understanding of other people. And I would like to make this observation this morning that the people who are in those positions who can affect change throughout the city of San Diego are still not present here this morning, and I think that's a discredit to this particular dialogue for the reason that we're here. I mean, I'm a big wheel in the black community like you're a big wheel in the white community. If I can spend the time to come down here, I have to earn a living too. I have to represent black people like they represent white people who they have been in the past. But I have a very much interest in the black people whom I represent. I think they should have an interest in the white people whom they represent. If they're not sensitized enough to represent the black people yet, they should learn themselves of what the other side is so that they might become a full representative for the city. And I'm talking specifically this morning about the city manager himself again, the mayor of the city of San Diego, each city councilman. And I've been very surprised if you read some of the statements about some of the city councilmen who knew, they don't even know what the hell a charter is all about yet if you read the paper lately. I think they should be here to understand what's going on in the other part of the community. I hope the CIC will put this part of their records to influence or talk to these people concerning the attitudes that were displayed here this morning and ask them to come to the dialogue. This is what we're all about. If we're going to only have employment task force or employment reports from special groups, then we can do that at the Elks on Tuesday morning when we have the employment task force meeting. We don't need the dialogue
anymore. All right. That further amplifies the purpose of this dialogue. Bob, let the record show that at least for the civil service, there are two commissioners present here. Two commissioners, George, from the civil service commission. Mildred Wade and Ron Poplin, and the personnel director of the city. And
so the reason why I prompted the statement, a city councilman who was recently appointed, who happened to be white, certainly not my black representative, asked me, he says, I'm not sure what sensitivity means. That's why I took off on the note I did this morning.
All right. I think what he's pointing out is essential. The purpose here is to expose those who are not now aware of what's going on, not just the physical facts, nor to simply reporting, but to feelings about these physical facts as opposed to other facts, so that a greater understanding, or to say a sensitivity, can come about. The Employment Task Force meets and works with all kinds of individual agencies every 2 weeks, and there we take little reports, tear them apart, and work with employers or agencies that George was talking about. We report there, and from that we get all kinds of things going. That's an action working committee, and it does a fine job, I suspect, in many areas. In some of the areas we don't do too well. That is not here. That's not the purpose of this. The purpose of this is to keep it flowing and look at these things. Any comments? Open for discussion. Art?
I'd like to make a statement and put it in the record in terms of my concern. Last year at about this time, the city finally made public, after a ruling by the city attorney that it was public information, its ethnic survey. After it had been discussed with all of its implications in regard to civil service and testing, it was stated that civil service reported that minority members were passing the test. The city council took what they considered to be affirmative action with a strong statement to the effect that the city was an equal opportunity employer and would not allow anyone in responsible positions to follow any other course of action. 1 year later, the report for July 1968 was finally released, delayed by what has been publicly labeled inefficiency. If my staff was that inefficient, someone would be fired. In spite of reports and newspapers headlining success at City Hall, the facts are that the total number of Mexican Americans in the employ of the city has dropped, although total city employment is up 4.4%. The number of Negroes in the employment of the city has increased by only 3.4%, 25% under the total rate of increase. The end result is that the net total percentages of minority groups employed at the city has actually dropped slightly at a time when the whole nation has been sensitive to the need to balance employment for minority groups. The assertion was made in the press that the success story is found in the upward and lateral mobility of employees. By lateral mobility, they mean being able to move from one department to another like a chess man moving sideways. Upward mobility normally means promotion, I hope that someone from the city will be able to give us some concrete documentation of meaningful upward mobility this morning, because as I tried to analyze the new way of reporting and compare it with the report last year, I found that there was no way on the basis of released figures for my simple mind to figure out who had moved up and who'd stayed in the same place. In the statement released to the press, I dealt with 15 departments that had plus or minus changes of 3% or over. Six of the 15 had decreases in numbers and minority employees, including the sanitation department, which may be a good thing. The other nine had increases. But the fact that there were over 20 departments with no significant change is not mentioned. Neither do they mention the fact that there are 14 departments with no Negro, there are 16 departments with no Mexican American, and 11 departments with neither Negroes or Mexican Americans. It seems to me that our city in motion is moving backwards, or at best is not moving at all. The city manager's office needs to review each department to determine why these conditions exist, and if they have to fire some department heads because they are too racially prejudiced to work with minority groups, so be it. Now, I know that the statistics that we have at hand are 9 months cold and perhaps are no longer meaningful, but all we have to work with is what has been released. But what about that department? What about that report? What about those 16 departments, 14 departments? What about the upward mobility?
In looking at the total of departments, I don't know what we're talking about, whether we're talking about departments or divisions in some cases. I know we're looking at the same report.
All I'm doing is taking the numbers down the side and figuring
this is
the department.
This is a breakdown of divisions in some cases rather than departments.
What's the difference for our purposes here?
Well, a department may have several divisions, and there may be one division.
That label are you using, Art? What are you talking about? I'm just going by the numbered names that are down the side. It didn't indicate these were divisions. The heading is department, so I figured they were departments.
Yeah. Well,
in this case, I'd have to amend my words to say department or division.
Okay. Secondly, on the Mexican-American tally, this is a problem that we don't have some of the answers to, for example, or any of the real answers to, but let's start off by saying that for city employment, as in most governmental jurisdictions, the ability to read, write, and speak English is a prerequisite, the same as citizenship is a prerequisite. All right, that creates some sort of a problem in recruiting. The second big problem is that the method of recording Mexican Americans is not as accurate. They're not easily identifiable either by name or in any other way. Some gal gets married and she has a maiden Mexican American name and a married non-Mexican American name. In some surveys she'll get lost. In other surveys she'll be picked up. And the other way of surveying sometimes is in the case of visual. People will say, Rodriguez, no, he's not Mexican American. So what I'm saying is that I question statistics for the Mexican American part, because I think it's a lot more difficult to get more meaningful statistics. So those are just reactions. One is the basic problem of recruiting, and the second one is that the statistics in there in this area are difficult. Coming back again to what Carol said earlier about this is the second go around in terms of reviewing what we're doing. As a result of some of the meetings that we had about a year ago, we listened to some suggestions and implemented them. And part of our emphasis, incidentally, was in this dispersion. We were criticized for having a concentration of blacks here and a concentration of whites, so some effort was made towards dispersion. As to another question that you asked...
Can you tell us what effort was made and give us some...
Yeah. you'll notice, for example, in sanitation and utilities, a lot of the cross movement was a case of a sanitation truck driver moving into utilities. And in most cases, this was, as it said, as lateral means, no increase and no loss of pay. It's just one thing is obvious, though. I think it's a better set of working conditions. So this was one effort in this lateral. In terms of promotion, I could name several promotional examples, but I don't know that would prove anything. If I went at it, I might be able to come up with a list. Suffice to say, there have been some. As long as I've got the floor, let me talk about a couple of other problems that we have. We can sit around here, and this is something that George was talking about. We can agree on what should be done and what shouldn't be done, what's right and what's not right. However, in the city, in a organization the size of the city or the county or school, there are probably 150 to 300 people who are directly involved in the actual selection process throughout the organization. The personnel department does not select. And one of our problems is that once we get people onto our registers, we lose track of them by race. We have no way of running a tail through to see what happens on that requisition, unless we make a conscientious effort to follow through on that for those three names that go out to that department. But the number of requisitions, we don't. So we don't know what some of the answers are out there. Unless it's after the fact, and we can go look back and then try to say, nothing happened in this division, or nothing happened in this department, then we can try to go back and reconstruct. At best, this is very difficult. Another area is that in our recruiting, we've listened to groups such as this, groups, people in groups such as these, to ideas on how to recruit better, some of the techniques we can use. We've asked Carol for some ideas, and we've implemented some of these. Example, we use a black recruiter for professional level jobs on campus. This was one suggestion. We encourage career day participation. We actually call schools and ask if they would like to have one of us visit the classes in the office, skills class or something like this, in a conscientious effort trying to get more people in. The problem is we don't feel we're getting enough in as public agencies, enough applicants coming in. The reasons, I don't know. I have some ideas, but I don't know the reasons. So coming back to the first problem, one of the things that we've done is to ask the state FEPC for permission to keep records, racial records, on applicants and on employees, and do a complete follow-through from when the guy signs up to when the guy is hired or not hired, so that from this we'll be able to develop certain studies and get some idea whether our feeling that we're not getting enough applicants, minority group applicants in the first place, is correct or not. And if we are, where are we getting them from? And are we getting the same level or the same caliber from one area of the community as we are the other? This will probably be implemented with the manpower to do this. This is one of the problems, is the manpower to actually do this will be sometime between July and August. We've asked them, and we've asked for a one-year study with a one-year option. So hopefully we'll have 1 year of statistics to see why.
You mean from FEPC that's granted for
it
a year?
It is granted, right.
So what you're saying?
Right. We have received permission, and the commission has given they're okay for our staff to do this kind of a study. So then we'll be able to answer the question, what happened? And why did it happen? And then we can go into the why. The other part of it, from our standpoint, is that we admit, for example, in the area of testing, that we still don't have the answers on a lot of tests. And the whole field of testing is in a somewhat of a state of flux. Let me give you one example. A year ago, I read a paper and I heard some people talking about the trouble with testing for minority group members is that you've got too much in the test that requires verbal skills, too highly verbally oriented. Okay. 2 weeks ago, I heard a lecturer who had done research since that was told to us by the so-called expert. This is not true. Minority group members have a great deal more trouble with spatial type questions on tests, which is just a complete reverse of a year ago. So we admit it, we're confused by the materials that we read. By the experts in the field. There is no clear-cut answer at this time, and just about the time we think there is, something else comes up. If you look over the history for the last 5 years in testing, there's even been a more dramatic searching for the truth, so to speak. In recruiting, it's my own personal observation that at least the city, the image of city employment in the black and brown community is not what I would want it to be. I think one of our problems is still the image. We attempt to do something to overcome this, but we're not successful. As the statistics speak for themselves, we haven't had any dramatic changes in the statistics, and yet we've been making efforts in this direction. To this end, I would suggest that we need help, and we need help from people such as that are in this group. We need help in bringing problems to people such as in this group. We're not doing a good job in recruiting in the minority group community. Give us some reasons why. And it almost has to be by class. And we can't do it on a one-sentence thing. This is a racist society. We have to say this particular class, because in some cases we're doing a pretty good job. At least I say we do a pretty good job. Let's say we get the result. In other cases, we bomb out completely, and we don't always know why. If we could get some help from a group, from this group, that would be helpful. Not only in the area of recruiting, but also in the area of general testing. George?
Yes, just similar things that Mr. Biggie related to. I want to ask a couple of questions concerning. Do you ask on the application or in some form during the interview of what race the person is? Do you ask the individual in some way?
No. Now you mean?
Yes.
No.
Time.
Why
don't you do this now?
It's illegal.
Pre-employment information, it was our understanding that it was illegal. Not employment, not our own employees. Legally, we could have been keeping some records. As a matter of fact, we have not. But when somebody walks up to a counter and fills out an application, it's my understanding that it was illegal. As a matter of fact, about 5 or 6 years ago, on our fingerprint card, which is an FBI design form or something, race was on it. And we were advised, and I've forgotten by who, but maybe the attorney's office or possibly FEPC, take it off. So we made our own fingerprint card and completely eliminated it.
Right. Okay, in that particular area, In order to fulfill the requirements of the Fair Employment Practices Commission, any federal agency, when asked about the number of minorities who are employed, the number of minorities who may have sought jobs at your place, you must have some way of finding out what that race of the person is in order to be able to answer that question. So even though the illegal procedure is that you do not have what race you are on the application or on the fingerprinting card, there must be another method. And we made an accusation some years ago that method at that time was by colored ink that was used on an application. This was a fact throughout the United States. It was used for racism purposes, not for a positive purpose. But anyway, there are other methods other than asking the race, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
In my office, we use a code system, 1, 2, 3, 4, to denote the race.
This is
because we have to report at the time the person is employed what race he is. We have to report it to the federal government. And I think the federal government would look stupid telling me not to ask the person what race he is when he's going to ask me the next day what race is the person I hired. So we know that this is not the real about things that was before.
Can we say that's part of with the city attorney's opinion of last year when we first started? It's not illegal to keep race records by race for the purpose of, and then it spells it out, as George and you were talking about. That was last year when we asked the city attorney to give us an official report on it along with grace. It's illegal to keep them under certain conditions that is identified. And I think that's what George is saying.
May I ask for information? Is this true of ethnic background? Do you do the same thing? Do you ask people what ethnic background?
No. We were told that even though
that's not the
no.
What it is a Chicano.
What ethnic background? How would that denote the person's race by telling you of his ethnic background?
Ethnic background? Well, I didn't realize that Chicano was a different race than everybody.
We mean ethnic race, then, if that's what you're asking. Yeah, it's ethnic race is what we mean.
As a matter of fact, when we changed our application, we also took off place of birth for just this reason. I mentioned earlier that United States citizenship is required. And one of our ways originally of finding this out was, where are you born? And the next question is, if it didn't say United States, we asked to see their naturalization papers to show that they were a citizen. This has been taken off, and now we just ask the question, are you a citizen, period. George, the FEPC has never asked us for pre-employment information other than what we were doing on other studies. Now, it's true that we've been working with the League of California Cities for 4 years, I think, or 3 years, on doing broad counts of tests. In other words, we just look over a room and count, and we say 57 applicants, 12 blacks, 8 browns, or whatever the percentages were, and then draw a line underneath it and say such and such an examination. All right, that's statistical information. We're one of about 40 cities has gone into a massive statistic, which proves what I think all of us know, that we have a problem with minority groups taking written tests.
I think we ought to clarify this, though, so we don't get confused now. It is not illegal to keep records by race.
Of pre-employment persons also.
But not by person, only by group.
No. It is not against the law to note the race of the person on the application or whatever manner you want to note it to. Note that person's race who is applying.
Who is applying? Who is not applying?
Okay. Here's how this is preempted this way. In the beginning, let's say 5 years ago when this first came about, the intent of the person in the employment to note race was to discriminate. Okay? The intent today to denote race is, which is a requirement, is to facilitate or to.
That's where
we are
right
now. Okay? Now,
let's put it out, George, so we can move on. The purpose, for example, when you go to FEPC and they grant you a year study, is for pre-employment, legally. That's pre-employment,
which is at this moment
illegal.
That's right.
So we can clear this up then. For the pre-employment, you need this special dispensation, I'll call it, from the state, from federal government in some instances. And that's what you're talking about. The other is, in terms of the annual reports required, it has not been and is not now illegal to keep records after employment by race to facilitate what George is talking about.
Right.
Now, to keep those two things clear, we don't have to get hung up there.
Now, let me add one final thing and then I'll reply. Before, when we've done the survey, we have actually gone out with a list of the employees for that particular payroll period and done it in the department. Now, the conversion that we're talking about now is presently not completely computerized, but it's in a form that will be easy to make it more quick in terms of access and so on. Part of this study, starting in July and August, will be to try to keep current information so that we can call out information. In other words, we're saying now, yes, we are going to keep up-to-date ethnic records of employees and for 2 years, 1 year or 2 years, also on pre-employment, on applicants. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep it from getting bogged down in figures and statistics and just keep it clear. The other is what Art said, I don't know whether you responded to, regardless of whether in fact one can determine the ethnic or racial identity, from the report there are departments which have no minorities, that is black or brown, a department or divisions and or divisions. And I think this is again in addition to the consideration of whether the Spanish has an English name or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
When the survey is taken, it's to determine, as school districts do, as counties do, as other federal agencies, some kind of method of determining whether in fact in that division or in department the individuals are considered to be black or brown.
Right.
So I don't want to get bogged down in that. What he's saying is, according to your survey, there weren't any in those departments set out from there. Yes, Maria? Put your hand.
I have to react to conversation that the gentleman made in regards to Mexican American. It is true that we have problems with the language. It is true that we have accidents. But that does not mean that we don't have any brain, so that we cannot work. You mentioned that you had tried recruitment in the black community. I would like to know if you have any programs of that sort in the brown Mexican American community.
Yes, ma'am. Two things. Again, going back a year ago, one of our problems then was that we had been concentrating on tests, but not on the instructions to test. The tests were put in the proper word level for that examination, but the instructions were still written by a college graduate and were at the college level. At the same time we did that, we developed, at the same time we started going through our instructions, which are in English, we developed a set of instructions for any applicant at the counter that comes down on the first floor in both Spanish and in English. And the difference between the Spanish is to say that, of course, the test will be in English, but here are some examples of the questions that you will encounter. And we tried to include every type of multiple choice question that they would get, and some examples that they could use, because we thought this was one of the problems, not the test, but the instructions. So that's one thing. We've translated in instruction sheets in Spanish. The other is that, which is not a direct answer to your question, but it's kind of interesting, in the last year we've noticed a definite increase in personnel from line departments asking us, from operating departments asking us for bilingual people, bilingual secretaries, bilingual counter people, and so on.
But are you talking directly to her point?
No, that's the last part.
It's true. Method.
Okay, the other thing, where in some of the model city programs, for example, or some of the federal programs, where we're directing it specifically to the Mexican-American community,
our job announcements are in Spanish too. We're working now on a Spanish job announcement for police patrol. Again, recognizing the limitation that this person must be able to read and write English, but at least we're doing that. As far as actual recruiting, we've done such things as try to keep abreast of all of the organizations who may be interested in our job announcements, and make sure they get copies.
Mr. Vega?
Yes.
Do you have a Spanish-speaking person on your first level where people will come to apply for applications for employment?
Yes. We have one person down there who, on our staff, who does not speak Spanish, but within 20 feet there is somebody who does speak Spanish, and anytime we run into this problem, she's available.
Do you have facilities, or do you have the methods to give tests in Spanish? Have you thought about giving tests in Spanish? Written tests?
No. Again, I come back to the requirement that the individual read and write, the individual applicant be able to read and write the English language.
No, I'm not questioning that now. I'm talking about a test.
Mm-hmm.
You see, what is comprehensive to one in one language may not be comprehensive to him in another language. I'm not talking about a person who can't read and write. He can fill out his application. He can apply for the job in English. I'm talking about the comprehension of the test itself.
No, we have not done anything necessary. Let me give you an example. A social worker whose English was a second language, and if the only requirement were to be able to read and write the English language, prove that by filling out the application, and that would sort of prove it, and then give the test in Spanish. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's
okay.
Exactly.
No, we have done nothing necessary.
Okay, the reason why, because it has been proven that comprehension in one manner is not the same as in another. A person can fill out the application by answering questions. In other words, I can completely interview an applicant in Spanish, but I could not take a test in Spanish. Are you following me what I'm saying?
What about the city schools in that regard, or the county? Just as bad. Do you give the comprehensive test in Spanish?
Mr. Wilson is here. We're not doing it currently. We've been meeting recently with some representatives of the ad hoc committee and talking with them about this, and we are in a process of acquiring some Spanish language tests with which to experiment and see if this might make some sense for us. But we have not, up to this point, actually done it.
Right. There are several.
Oh, Jeff, thank you. We started to, in the county, to prepare some Spanish, some tests in Spanish. My Mexican-American analyst advised against it, and he advised against it on the basis of some research that was done in the Los Angeles area in the post office department, where the tests were given in Spanish and also in English. And the end results were that those Mexican-American people did better in the English test, because this was what they were accustomed to seeing in the testing process than they did in the Spanish. Now, we're willing to try it, but we have not, because for that reason.
We have a different situation. We have a different situation here in San Diego with the Mexican-Americans. There are several individuals here who have graduated from high school in Mexico, and those same individuals have learned inadequate English to pass or to fill out an application. They're very astute in Spanish, as far as translation, as far as interpreting what you're asking, but not so much in English. And this is justifiably so, because if any of you have studied Spanish, you know that the word placement itself is completely the opposite of the word placement in the English language, which many times tends to confuse people.
What about you, Ernie, out of state? Do you
know
they come? Do not.
Okay. The only test we use is for secretary. I shouldn't be so categorical. As far as I know, the only test we use is for secretarial employees, and we have not used any Spanish version. But we have felt we have had some conferences with the CIC committee, and I think we probably will change that whole.
Right, but about 2 years ago, we did a correlation study between an English test and a Spanish test among the employees, and there was the fallacy of our sample. Of Mexican Mexican-American city employees. Now, to become city employees, they had to pass a certain criteria. But anyway, the results showed a very slight edge in them being able to take English tests, which is sort of saying what Clayton said he could be. But the fallacy, of course, of this is that you've got a group that's already passed tests, English tests, to get the job, and it's a very limited sample, and we recognize that.
I would think then that those that we've been discussing the whole thing with just simply might not get in all the bureaucracy red tape and say, we're going to do it both ways for a while and see what you get. Don't go through all of your what I call, when I'm teaching the research designs, however, with matching up, you know, your statistical research design, your matchups, the sampling. Don't do it that way, because you're not really dealing with the scientific data otherwise. Just say, for the next 6 months or 3 months, we're going to do this and see how it turns out in our city. Then you meet what George is talking about. Or say, during the same period, you add this other manpower with the city, that is, but maybe you add this during that period of time, and then come out with something concrete and instead of scientifically valid and all that, this is what we did and this is what the result is. Then give it to your analyst or your representative, black and brown, in the department, and say, hey, now, what about it this way? I thought Don's hand up earlier. Then I saw you.
Yeah, I just had one question I wanted answered, and I didn't.
A little louder.
Just one question. I wanted to know just how interested is the civil service commissioner, the people that really make the decision, hire people that involve in this, and it's an equity there, and the percentage there of black and brown people that's employed in the city. Because I feel if we're very concerned about it, there are these other things there on recruitment, these that can be worked out there, but if they're not given the priority, number one priority, then it's the hiring of people that, by the people that can make these decisions, and all this stuff we're talking about here. Probably won't mean anything, and I would like to get some remarks there from Mrs. Wade, who's chairman, or whoever it is that makes these decisions.
Hold on a minute, Bud. That's their area to answer. Bud. I got one question. Hold on a minute, Bud. Let somebody else get in on this.
I'd be glad to answer that. I'm kind of like Mr. Rogers was yesterday before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, that you have secret talks, and then somebody says, yes, I understand why you have to, but tell me, are they going on, and how are they coming? Because this basically, I think, is what the commission has been quietly doing, talking to department heads, talking to people who can pick people off of lists after they're certified, and certainly policy-wise, we are doing all that we can to get employment for minority people. Now, as Mr. Biggie pointed out, we examine and we get a name on a list, and when it goes to a department, the department head, the division head, whoever is doing the choosing, and there may be as many as, say, 300 people in the city who have a finger in this choice of an employee for a specific job, and we have no control over them.
Well, it's the choice points, although that still remain a problem a year later in terms of the choice.
I think it's improved. I don't think it's improved as much as it can, but I think it has improved, and I think it's improved to some extent because we've pushed it a little bit.
Can you show me where it's improved when your own statistics show that your employment of Negroes is 25% behind whites and your employment of Mexican Americans has dropped off below what it was last year?
I would have to know the percentage of applicants of those races to the percentage last year, for example.
Yeah. This is my concern, you see. We've made these claims that things have improved, but we have no statistics to substantiate it.
I don't think it's been fair to Nard. She said something else.
I just had to know.
She's saying, though, that you really can't go by whether it's increased or decreased in terms of per point.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I just wanted to be sure that. Okay.
I just had to. You know, the other question I want to know, we can talk to Mrs. Wade, that said it's about 300 people that have their finger in the hiring of people. Are these 300 people there know the concerns of the city there in settling and solving this problem? And if not, there would it be advisable, therefore, the
300 people there to get this information. Either they're through directions from the talk or through staff meetings there with supervisors, so that they will know, and then we won't be bothered with this 300 people, these individuals, because they will know the policies and the direction that the head people are really want to go through. I think that
the answer to that basically is through the manager's office, because he's the one who runs the city at this level.
This is why I addressed my comments to the city manager's office rather than personnel. The city manager's office needs to roll a couple of heads, and then maybe the rest of them will begin to shape up.
Ray, before you react, you weren't here last year, and several things came out, then I'll stop. The whole point here was that here we talked and had several inputs about what's being discussed now. Should it start from the top down? If so, would a policy statement per se be enough? And it was agreed that it would not, but would start out with whatever method the manager's office decided on, getting with supervisors, department heads, division heads, etc., and working a top-bottom down, if we make sense here, top-bottom down, calling them in, and whatever method to use to say 6 months or a year from now, we want a difference. Now that you're in the in that department, you might want to respond to that.
Well, I do, Carol. I suspect that the word has not been carried down forcibly enough through all the 300 people who are in a position to act. All I'm aware of at this point in time is that as far as Walter Hahn and the people who report to him, which is, you know, a handful of people, are concerned, they know of the record, and they know about the city manager's concern to change that record. Your comment is a very valid one in terms of either further staff meetings. I don't think you can do it by sending a piece of paper around, and it's maybe likely that that's what happened. I don't know that. All I can really tell you is that I'll make it my business to see to it that if we haven't done anything, we do something in terms of impressing again, or maybe impressing for the first time on all those people who have some measure of control, the concern about this problem. And I may find they've done a lot more than I realize, but I'll sure find out what has or hasn't been done and push to be sure that everyone in this position clearly understands the nature of the problem and what the city manager's attitude is.
Let me ask this question, John. Has anyone ever been fired from the city of San Diego for discrimination?
Well, I have to ask Bud.
Has anyone ever been, any supervisor, are these
I'm
two or three hundred people?
I'm thinking.
And while you're thinking, can you think of any one of those 300 that are black?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the answer to that is definitely yes.
What percent is
there
about?
I wouldn't attempt. No, it's a sizable group. You've got some of your large departments, but that's, you know, that doesn't really.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Could I go back to the original question?
Let him think there, George. He's thinking a second. Keep you cool there, George. Let him have his think moment. Be thinking as if I'm saying no, George. Let me make sure that my no is correct.
Okay.
Hold on, George. Hold on. He said he won't think another second. He said fired?
That's right. Fired. Head.
No.
What was your word, though?
Department or division head.
No, I mean, what was the head role? The head role.
No, I don't know of any, George.
Okay. The reason I ask the question is this. We have the same thing going through the military services this time, where they say that they have been requested by Washington, D.C. to implement a policy of equal opportunity employment. The same thing by letter has gone out, in essence, from the city of San Diego to implement equal opportunity employment through all levels and divisions. Now, at the present time, you have certain methods by which people are rated within the city of San Diego to get promoted within the city of San Diego. You have rating systems, right? Now, how in the hell can you rate a man if he's not carrying out the policy to get promoted?
people are getting promoted. Last year, you had cats getting, what, $13,000 a year raises, and that was the whole big hassle down here. They forgot all about the trash collectors. It was the city people, the manager's office. Now, why aren't some these cats are getting promoted? They're getting raises. Why hasn't some heads rolled instead of promotions rolled? Somebody has been screwing up. Now, why hasn't they been put in jeopardy for messing up? That's my question. Why haven't they been fired?
And
your record showed that they
were us.
Your record showed that they should have been fired. Your record here showed that some people should have been fired for all efficiency raises or not have gotten a raise in the last 2 years, but nobody has not missed a raise, neither have they been fired. I don't understand it. What's going on?
Are you saying that the personnel department is not involved in making the recommendations that lead to promotion?
That's right.
Okay, this goes to the department head themselves. Who determines the department head whether he gets his raise or what happens to him?
Okay, well, let me ask the question.
For the managerial department, the managerial people.
These 300 people that we're talking about, whoever they are, and I can't determine from any of your reports who they are.
You can't.
They would be rated within their departments, and for the managerial departments, it would be under the manager's purview on this rating. I mean, you have a series of ladders. A foreman gets rated by a supervising foreman, and he gets rated by somebody ahead of him. So it goes up the ladder.
Isn't that a pretty scant way of doing it? Because
it's difficult.
Okay,
yeah,
can we address the question
for
the moment?
Is there anyone here from the manager? Fair to Mr. Blair, really, because Mr. Blair is new. I'm picking on him, and I don't think I'm being fair. Because I'm defending myself, I'm picking on the manager.
Mrs. Waite, then, this is why I originally asked the opening statement here today, that those persons attend these dialogues who can affect change, and not someone who is not aware of the changes that should be made, not someone who doesn't know what has gone on in the last 3 years. We're discussing an old age situation here, to be about 400 years for an exact, and to deal with a person who's been on staff at least 4 months is not going to get the job done taken care of. So at least someone should be here who's been around for 2 or 3 years since we've been the subject that is on relevant today should be here to answer and respond. If Mr. Blair is here, he's sent to do it, then Mr. Blair should get his neck chopped because they shouldn't have sent him here in the first place. And if they want to sacrifice him, fine, I'm here to cut. That's right, no defense is necessary. We've always defended the racist system, and that's what's wrong with it now. We keep defending it. Last year, we were sitting here doing the same thing. We asked for representation on the Civil Service Commission. Asked America's representation before the council, public representation. You still don't have them. But you had an opening last year, but you still don't have any on there. You cannot, Mrs. Wade. You've been on there a hell of a long time. It's about time we got some change in the Civil Service Commission. All people who sit on commissions and know the same old way cannot provide the necessary vehicle for changing the new system today. Now, this has got to change. We don't want to listen to the old ideas anymore. They have not worked. Your records show that. They have not worked. We want something new. I don't care if it's wrong. Let's try it again. Let's try something else. This is no offense to you and your ages or whatever, except that people who have said this is the way we're doing it, I don't see it being done anyway. You're scared to make change at this point. All old people get scared to make changes. Young cars, they old. I'm not talking about your age, I'm talking about your position. Hell, ever since I've been in San Diego, I've been on the Civil Service Commission. That's what I'm talking about. And so there's some other people on there. It's time some new breed got on there. White or black. And this brings on another point of one cat is what happens here in the Recreation Department. There's a black woman at this time who's ninth on the list in the Recreation Department for a supervisor-type job. You got one black man in the Personnel Department of the City of San Diego who was doing interviewing for 4 jobs that was open for supervisors. Now, guess what happened? When the black woman came up, he disqualified himself. Now, he says, a hell of a shot. We put him there in the first place so he could interview and be preference to black people. But someone in the idea of the system says, more or less to him, I shouldn't sit here and do this. This black woman right now should not be on the ninth level of the list because of the personnel numbers rating she could have gotten had someone knew her background and her peers who was black. She could have been high on the list than what she is. Now, she will not be able to get the job because she's ninth down. You're only high in 4. That's what we're talking about. The attitudinal system of change. This is where we are today. Now, this makes a point
It's not a person passing a written test. If they can read English, you did a hell of a good job on the test. But she still flunked out on the personnel interview because some white cracker didn't know her background and what needs to happen in Southeast San Diego, but she does. So you had a white girl here interviewing her from here and a white cat from LA on the other interview hand. Now she's ninth on the list. These are specifics I'm talking about. This has got to change. It's no use shuffling and jiving in no dialogue sessions if you're not willing to turn yourself over and look at your other side. I've seen this side too long.
George, there are about a few things that you overlooked in this particular situation. I don't like to dwell on individual situations, but I think it might be interesting to take that situation there.
Okay.
We were concerned about recruiting minorities in this particular category to the extent of putting in special ads, not only in San Diego, but in Los Angeles, and I believe in San Francisco. It's a fairly good thing, higher level job, district recreation leader. Normally, so first of all, we were recruiting throughout the state, and we were specifically, we didn't put an ad in the Los Angeles Times, we put up an ad in the Los Angeles Minority Group newspaper, specifically directing, trying to get minority group participation in this. You mentioned that this person came out number ninth, and it sort of sounds like this person came out number ninth because one of the interviewers was black and disqualified himself. In this particular situation, we ask an interviewer where there is a strong personal friendship, relative, and so on, for God's sake, let us know, because this can backfire the other way just as quickly. And if this person has the option of backing away from it and saying, I don't want to be a part of the interview, or I do, this is true of all our analysts. We've had other examinations, George, where we've had two, incidentally, you only mentioned one black analyst, there's two black analysts interviewing maybe a 90% white, 10% minority group. And we've heard about that too. From our standpoint, we've got professionals in there. We've got professionals who will do a good job. If this professional had felt that he could have done a good objective job without any of his own personal feelings, which I don't know what his personal feelings were, but anytime an interviewer says this to us, we back him out. And we had a good interviewer from Los Angeles and a good interviewer from our own staff who happened to be white.
Okay,
they could just as well have happened to have been black.
That's my question, Bud. Your good is not the same as a black man's good. That's where we have the problem today. In your definition of a good man to work the Southeast San Diego Recreation Department where they're black kids, your word of good would not be the same as a black man's good. So the person you're talking about, no matter how professionally, how experienced he was, it's again the old cliche, how good is he in terms of the needs of today, not yesteryears when he was there.
Hold up, Doug. Other reaction? Doug?
Yeah, Carol, I got to the recruitment. That's why I asked there where we were setting priorities and if there's a need for the employment there of black and brown people there in our system. They're not necessarily, not only with the city, but with these other organizations around the schools and all, but if we establish that there is a need there to balance out the inadequacy and the percentage of black and brown people that's employed in these things, then we get to our recruitment, how are we going out there to get them. You know, I disagree when they say there's going to have a problem there with recruitment there of brown people because they can't read and write their English. Hell, all the ones I know, they can read and write English. And, when there was a need there for the country there, when there's a need there for people there to fight there in wars and all this stuff, to really make an effort, we go out there and either recruit them or redraft them. And then, you know, because they drafted me. And hell, I wasn't no professional killer, but after I went through their training there, they said I was a professional killer. So they have the best system of training people or making them qualified to do these things. If we set this as a priority, and the recruitment systems there are wrong because it's not providing the results there, because we're putting them out there and waiting for people to come in. We're not going out there in the communities and really seeking them out and finding them. Based on the past experience, if you send out these announcements there, whether it's Hispanic on the language that they might have it in there. And still there, it hasn't been where people are results there from past. It's not an experience there where even if you do apply that you get a job there, consequently you don't get a whole lot of people coming in. There no rewards there for their effort. If we set this as a priority and send people out there and get them, I'm pretty sure that if as the city of these people are say that this is the number one priority and they want to settle this problem, I believe that we can if we really go out there and do this. And we're going to be hung up with this all the time. There's no qualifying people, there's no people that apply and all of this. It's the same old prep that we use there to answer these questions when they come up. And I'm saying that we're going to have to really get out there and make this the number one priority and get out there and get them. And we'll be able to.
Let me Bud and then Anderson.
I think George hit upon the problem, really, and that is the conflict of values. Maybe this is what we should examine in what we consider good or bad, or for instance, the minority community might consider good, the white community might not. I think we should hit upon this.
Before you go on, Mrs. Wade, this is specifically for the record. I definitely have no intentions of relating to you in a number of years. I have no aware. I'm talking about people who have an attitude of today. You have worked in a certain manner for a number of years. I mean, you have seen how your experience worked. You have seen it to you, how it paid off. So you would have a tendency to continue in that same manner, seeing what you've done pay off. That's a natural thing. Anybody would have that. But what I'm speaking directly to today, that out there someplace where you have not been yet, and I'm not just talking about Mrs. Wade, I'm talking about Mrs. Black also, who hasn't been out there. Mrs. Black, who has a mother, who is a mother, and who hasn't been to see by her children, and what's going on. There's an attitude that does not relate to the experience Wade as it has been done before. This is exactly what I meant, because I definitely meant no offense to you as a personal individual. I'm talking about attitudes of the day, because as far as age is concerned, one day I'll be old too.
Well, this is where I disagree with you, because I think there has been a great change.
Okay.
And I think our own department proves it, because we have more minority people employed in our department in levels of jobs than most departments in the city of San Diego. And you can go down there and walk through department and look. So this proves that as far as our attitude is concerned, we're trying to set an example. But I am not the city manager, nor is the commission the city manager, or the mayor or the council.
Okay.
So you do what you can do within the sphere of your influence, and that's as far as you can go. And sometimes you step over the line into other spheres.
You're speaking of the civil service
commission
here,
yes.
Working for us.
That's right. The people we hire for our own department.
Okay. And according to the report, 17.2%.
Minority.
No, specifically on the reason I brought the point of recreation, I know that deprived young children, I know that black and brown young children love to play, because that was the only way for them to fill their stomachs when there was no food in the house, was to go out and play and forget about it. All through their life and career years, my inspiration to go to college was only to play. I had no respect at all for education. It didn't mean anything to me. I wanted to play ball. With this inspiration, I know that there should be, in San Diego, something is wrong when there are not more blacks or more browns, I would say, in the recreation department than there are whites. Because the simple reason is blacks and browns have nothing else to do all their life but play. Now, when they cannot pursue that attitude, which they have gone on through life, it is something wrong with the system of not allowing them to pursue it. And it could be an examination, very well could be a test and examination. But somewhere they're getting hung up and they can't pursue what I know is inside of black. I know that it's there. They want to play games. And I know that recreation. I wanted to work in recreation and physical education more than anything in the world, but something hung me up. The thing that hung me up was not a test, it was black. But I'm saying that these things have hung up people who really want to do these things. And I know that there should be a lot more who are there. I mean, should be there.
Get it around to some other people in the room. Anderson?
I know that we have problems with the Civil Service Board. We proved that last year when we tried to get two black sergeants and some other people in the police force to be promoted. Now, I take it that although the civil service examining board has made some improvements, so it's been stated, I haven't seen any improvements, but I hear tell that improvements have been made. But until I can see visual evidence that this type of situation is being corrected or it's been looked into, and it is presented to the public, because, you see, I'm part of the public, and if I don't see it, to me it doesn't exist. So, to have the people in the community aware of what changes you're making, you may get a bigger input to help to solve some of your problems that you're having. And you can't solve them in a closed session, and you can't solve them with just the group that you know and the people that you work with every day, because they don't have the answers to most of the problems that you're facing. You have to go outside of your peer group and outside of the scope that you work in. Now, I'm not sure what method you're using, but evidently they haven't really made much progress in the sense that you say we hired a few minorities here and a few minorities there. Well, that's just like sprinkling a little black pepper over a lot of salt. I don't know whether these rigid tests you give an answer to the problem, or even if you lower some of the qualifications. I don't know if that's the real answer, but I think that you should endeavor to find some people that are knowledgeable in this field, whether they can communicate with white people or communicate with black people on the level that these people attempt to take these examinations and to take these oral interviews. I'm not sure that you're doing this. Now, I would suggest that, well, first of all, I'd like to know whether or not the city or the county has an on-the-job training program. I'm not sure that this is in effect right now, right at this point.
On-the-job for?
Employees, yes, on-the-job training that would give a person an opportunity to see what's actually going on some jobs, and then that way he can make some suggestions. Also, while he's training, he can learn about the job, and maybe he's interested in that particular job. But due to the fact that he does not have the particular expertise to hold that position, this will disqualify him. Now, if he had some insight on how this particular job works, maybe his interest in that particular area would stimulate him to make some type of an input that would be beneficial to the city or the county, whoever takes on this position.
All right. Training programs, city. We have some training programs along this line with geared. Some that are specifically slanted to sanitation, where we have a problem of education, lack of education. And some of them are on the job, some are classroom, cross-training of our own employees. That's one thing. I'm not sure you're talking about employees, or you're talking about other people too, weren't you?
No, I'm talking about people from the community.
From the community,
yeah,
okay.
We take on the job like that.
We also have the, I've forgotten the title of it, but it's where a senior in high school spends time, I think it's 2 hours a day for 2 weeks, in one of the departments, and they get school credit for this, and they get out of school for a certain length of time, and we've had them in drafting, in engineering department, we've had them in data processing. We've had a pretty good size group in data processing, and in general clerical. Carol, can I take about one more 60 seconds here just to say something? It sounds like a lot of people are agreeing with what I said earlier, or maybe I'm agreeing with them, and that is that we don't think we've got the answers. We think we need more input. We're not saying everything is rosy. We don't think that our tests are that good. We need more input. And that's
what specifically is your problem right there, Bud. What, take everything that we've said and that you are conceiving now, and then move it to some of the others. I'd like Ernie O'Byrne to get on after this, so you're going to have to go, and we want to hear you and tear you apart as well, as you know. What is your problem?
I mentioned the two to start with.
No, I don't mean the categories of problems, like recruitment, not
okay,
enough.
What is our problem?
Yeah, what
we
as
don't,
you look inside, what is it that keeps you from doing what you
okay.
said you want to do?
We need more information. We need more information from the black and brown community. Specifically, we need information to tell us like the Employment Task Force group, specifically saying, here's our problem to them. What are your suggestions? What are your recommendations?
Are there such groups available? Whatever way you perceive them.
Well, you're awfully busy. I mean, CIC, but try. I envision this as something that's taking 2-3 hours on a problem.
Right.
And maybe half a dozen problems in the next 2-3 months. So it would have to be a group who, and this goes back to what George was saying. What I think is good, he doesn't think is good. And vice
well,
versa.
I'm trying to get stick with the problem in it.
That's
there,
the problem.
There are such groups that you can go to satisfy what you need.
I'd like some volunteer, some suggestions on where to go.
Now, I think he's very serious. I think he's a very serious point here because Bud and I have talked before, and I know that questions that we knew of then did come up. Bud, could you make your office available to a person to come in and talk to you specifically concerning this? The Urban League has a specialist in the area of employment, for example, in Carolina, you have an employment man in your office. But anyway, these people would be available to
you. Yeah, we've used people from the Urban League in the past, but not. Again, it's a question of availability.
We would like help, is all things.
Okay.
I'm trying to pin down how this group can give you the input that you need, whatever it is, and you'll hear from Ernie in a minute. When we did go to Dr. Love and Ernie's office, and we gave them, I think, pretty much way down here what they need, and I'm trying to find out what is preventing you from getting that.
Well,
and I'm not sure
I
know yet.
In perfect candor, probably not realizing what all of our problems were all the time. But now, the only thing that's preventing me is asking and saying, would there be a group of, say, half a dozen people representing the black and brown community who could meet every other week to start with? I don't know whether it may be every week, but to start, and we bring them the areas that we see as problems, or they feed back to us the areas they see as problems in the community.
Okay.
And start from there.
All right. Let's jump. You wanted to make another comment.
One quick problem, and I think part of your problem is through the perceptions within your department. For instance, the comment was just made that this department has the best record in terms of minority department employment of any departments there, but as I checked the statistics, there are 10 other departments that are higher than yours in terms of the percentage of minority groups within them. So perhaps, just possibly, you still don't even know where you stand. I think that I didn't make that comment, but I think that the comment was made in relation to statistics which were not made last July. That's one of the problems. And that's the other problem with statistics.
Right.
We've got a section in here on pool, which is part-time help or temporary help. And if we did statistics on that, that thing would fluctuate wildly from month to month. So let's not get hung up on statistics.
All right, Ernie, would you lead off and then
let you know.
At this point...
You'll be here.
Yeah, he's there. Yeah. At this point, may I suggest that Ernie gives us his and then the schools and the county right on so we can now open it up. Let's don't just stick with the city. They have opened up the area. Let's find out what's going on in the others as you go along. Ernie?
Okay. I think, first of all...
Larry.
Yeah. First of all, I think I'd stipulate that we are not doing a good job in non-faculty or faculty either. We were thinking particularly about non-faculty employment, and I don't think we're getting the job done. Now, about 3 years ago, we began to worry about this, and we formed an administrative faculty student committee under Dr. Kidwell, who's placement director at the college, and who many of you in personnel know, to attempt to do something about this. We formulated we got suggestions from groups such as Urban League as to what ought to be done. We got out a policy statement. But as has been reported here, there's a big gap between policy statements and performance. And no matter how you slice it, it pays off on performance, and we haven't made it. We have increased our numbers dramatically if you go by percentages, but when 100% improvement over one is like two, and that doesn't catch it. So we began to get the reflection that the CIC Employment Task Force had some very specific comments to make about what we were doing and how we were doing it and questions to ask. I met with them first a few months or so ago. Then we arranged a meeting that Carol alluded to about a half a dozen people from CIC Task Force on Employment met with our business manager, our personnel officer, the head of buildings and grounds, and the head of maintenance. And those are essentially the people from the top to the bottom who worry about these. We got some excellent input as to what we were doing wrong and how we ought to be changing things. For example, one of the tests we use that we have found extremely valuable in placement of white secretaries out of a group of 10, picking out one to put into jobs and departments, is the use of the Wunderlich test. It has worked over the years extremely well. While we recognize that this is not a very good test, probably for minority people, we hadn't really done anything about it. I think at this point we have some input from people as to other ways we can approach that whole thing, and we will undertake to try these other methods of getting at some sort of test of candidates' ability to follow directions, to be imaginative in the solution of problems, and so on. We also, for example, found out that we've got a very serious problem about promotions from the maintenance, the janitorial ranks, to the relatively few jobs who are plumbers, electricians, carpenters, and so on. Turnover is very slow, and there tends to be an overtraining in a lot of the janitors that makes it very hard for a minority person to crack. We've got to look very specifically at this particular problem and try to figure out a solution to that. Another problem that we find that we have that we've got to figure out a solution to is we have relatively few entry-level jobs that don't require shorthand. Most of our jobs tend to be requiring some shorthand. This screens out a whole bunch of people. We've already provided for on-the-job training we will release an employee to go over to the School of Business and take shorthand and things like that, but it's getting them in the jobs in the first place. Also, I'm not at all sure that people are being adequately or properly dealt with when it comes to job promotion at all levels. We're going to look at that. I think, in general, that's about all I have to say, other than to say I don't particularly feel defensive. I'm just saying we have not done a good job. We have got some excellent input from CIC's committee, both in terms of our people getting specific suggestions from their people as to how our procedures have been wrong. For example, we've found that some people are coming out on job referrals and not even touching the personnel office. They were going right to the job site talking to people. This is bad business, because then there's no way we can follow up as to what happens to them. And they probably will have the experience of sitting around for 2 hours to talk to somebody, and they talk to them, and that's the end. They never get called back. That never happens. They just talk to them. We think we know now how to adjust some of those procedural problems. The other thing, we had a meeting yesterday of Kidwell's committee again, and we have some specific people with whom we're going to work on all of these areas in the CIC committee on such things as testing, promotion, Chicano recruitment, black recruitment, the whole bit.
Carol? Can we get some statistics, Doctor? Do you have any on employment?
I do. I deliberately didn't bring them because I don't trust them worth a nickel. We have avoided.
They don't take too much.
No, they really don't.
It's not good.
No, it's lousy.
Do you have any idea how many black teachers are attending the city college?
Yeah.
How many?
Well, very pretty easy to name.
I figured it would be.
Jerry, on one hand, Jerry Farber in English, Wally Miles in political science, Hope Logan in School of Social Work, and I think that's it.
Well, wait a minute. Don't you have?
We have a lot of part-time.
But they're not teachers. They're not instructors. The ones you name are instructors. Is that correct?
They're professors. Yeah. They're all have a regular professorial.
What about Mexican American full instructors?
We've got a lot of a lot. In comparison with the number of blacks, we have a lot more.
Okay.
We've got Ed Aguirre, Juan Lopez. Is it on there? How many?
About nine.
8 or 9.
And other staff members that in part-time teaching professions or counselors or what have you, black, brown?
I'm not sure. There are more part-time people, and I think that probably is one of the ways we can increase our numbers in the years ahead the quickest. Whether it's the best way or not, I'm not so sure, but I think we will be doing more and more part-time hires, particularly now that we're starting black studies and Chicano studies.
What about the county and the city schools in these areas? Come right on in and give us something. You don't have to worry about all these statistics after you get out on top of the table what the significant categories are.
Carol, you know in the city schools we have a division because of teaching certificated and the non-teaching.
All right,
Boyd Wilson is here to talk about the non-teaching. I'd be glad to talk about the teaching thing if you want to stay with the testing thing first.
Okay, let's take Boyd then. And
are you interested in knowing the numbers?
If you can run off that.
These figures are as of September, which is the time at which school districts are required by the state to submit a report. At that time, we had a total of about 2,800 non-teaching employees in regular continuing jobs. Of that, 161 were Negro employees, 92 Mexican Americans, 17 Oriental, and 14 other non-white. Percentage-wise, as I recall, it adds up to about 10.1% or something of that sort.
Okay. What about some of these other problems? Has that improved over last year? Well, the previous year's reporting, for example.
pay for the secretarial service.
Or maybe the other way to ask you, maybe you don't have it that way. What about these
I
categories?
Have it that way.
You don't have it that way?
I do.
Oh.
Let's get another page here. The Mexican-American figure was 64 last year. The Negro figure last year was 89. Oriental 14, other non-white 10.
And your total?
Last year's total. What about the categories of secretary, technical, groundsman, cafeteria, helper, etc.?
This is for 68. Of the 92, 37 Mexican Americans were in secretary, clerical, technical. Of the 161 Negroes, 74 were. Of the 17 Orientals, 8. Of the 14 other non-whites, 6.
How many Mexican Americans did you say?
37.
That was 1968?
Yes.
That's very interesting. You had an improvement in 69, according to my figures. That's really interesting. You haven't improved in either area in 69. I have your report.
Those were the latest figures given.
What year ago?
The figures I just gave were for...
They were 68.
68.
What? Oh, okay.
The other figures would be for the previous year or previous years.
I'm with you. Okay.
What problems do you face, boy?
Well, I'd say ours are no different than most others. In terms of getting numbers of people, I think this has improved in terms of numbers, but I don't think we're getting as many as we'd like to see. We do have an advantage over the city and the county in that we do have some opportunity to fill some positions without competitive examination or by means of limiting areas of recruitment. Figures that I gave you, for example, do not include 86 trainee positions that we established this year. These are in schools in southeast San Diego. And we limited the recruitment for those positions to people who resided in that area. Now, there's school districts under state law are able to do this for certain types of positions. And of the 86 positions, 79 of them are filled by minority people. Because of the limited recruitment, we did not open to people outside the area. We're also able to employ apprentices without going through competitive examination.
How many do you have now?
We have 5. Now, this is something we just started this year up until the latter part of 68. We had none. And we started the program because we simply cannot recruit minority journeymen.
What areas are they in?
The apprentices, 2 are painters, 2 carpenters, 1's an electrician.
You got to break down on those black and brown?
4 are black, 1 brown.
Question?
How many white apprentices?
None.
You mean through the total district now, or gentlemen? What are you asking, Art?
Apprentices.
Well, the problem was that they could get white apprentices. The white whites are able to move on up. But 2 years ago, when this was opened up, it was for minorities.
So I was just, in my own mind, comparing with the city's situation where, according to statistics, they have 1 black and 1 brown and 23 whites in their apprenticeship program. And my own mind was trying to compare how the school district was doing with the city. Apparently, you're doing a little better.
Yes. The number of teachers at the senior high level is 74 black, I believe, correct? 47 black.
Give us a rundown on the figures first, then we'll have something to go by.
I did not break it down by levels, but in a certificated group, over the last 4 years, just as a statistical figure, we have increased the number of black teachers from 151 to 222, the number of brown ones from 67 to 106. The administrative group, we've increased the number of black administrators from 3 to 13. The number of brown ones, 7 only to 8, which I think is very concerned, as Mr. Biggie mentioned earlier, about this identification of Mexican Americans, because we have to depend upon a visual survey and by all of our administrative staff. And this is a very difficult thing, and a Spanish surname. We're going to have to do something else about this in order to get any kind of realistic analysis.
What about going to the administrators themselves, asking them?
Well, you see, up to this time, the state has said use a visual survey, visual method, and use a Spanish surname. Now, we think Spanish surname is a faulty way of doing it, because I employed personally and interviewed people whose names were not related to Spanish surname at all. So that's the reason I'm a little concerned, but I think these are relatively accurate. They're nothing that we're writing home about anyway, but I think they give you the kind of figure we want. Now, the thing we're trying to do, of course, is to increase these figures. We're doing some things this year we have never done before. We're sending a Negro administrator with our personnel representative to some predominantly Negro colleges. We have increased the predominantly Negro colleges where we're interviewing. This year we have also included some new colleges and universities that have allegedly high percentages of Mexican-American students, and we have also used one of our Mexican-American administrators in the process of interview. Now, I'm sorry, I don't know yet how this is going to pan out, because I personally visited one of the Negro colleges and spent all day and didn't see a single elementary teacher, talked to 10 secondary applicants. I don't know yet how this is going to work out.
What about Mexican American recruiters? Just like you mentioned, the one black
recruiter. We sent 1 to 4 different colleges.
Mexican American?
If we talk to placement offices and various college campuses, I haven't found one yet who believes this is going to help us any, but I'm willing to find out and try.
I don't follow that.
The placement office does not feel it makes any difference who comes on their campus to interview, whether he is black, brown, or Caucasian, at the school.
Yeah, but no, what I'm saying, so we'll understand, are you saying they don't feel that it makes any difference whether he's black, white, or brown, or whether he's brown or white? That's what I'm trying to find out.
Sorry, now you lost me.
The officers that I talked with
some black ones at some black colleges and asked them specifically, did they think it would help? And their answer was they didn't think it would make any difference to the students who we were interviewing. Now, I don't know whether they're reflecting this accurately or not. I'm just sharing with you what they said to us. But nevertheless, we are using black and brown administrators in an attempt to improve this number. Now, our problem is simply, as we talk about problems, our problem is not having a pool of people that we're able to go to in this area.
I don't follow that. Tell us so we can add to that.
I'm hopeful that in 3 or 4 years, as we have been, and groups like this have been increasing the number of high school people who are going on to college, we're going to have a pool of college graduates. But that takes a little time, and I think we still have a year or two in order to see some results out of this.
Now, I think one of the things that the public schools in this area might well do is to have some heart-to-heart talks with our School of Education about the kinds of graduates they'd like to see coming from the education department at the various state colleges, particularly San Diego State in the area.
One was, you said that you sent a black recruiter for the first time with a team of persons that were going out to interview. Was this particular black person that you call upon to send, did he have to have any basic prerequisites for this job in Moochie Hill other than just his color itself or being of color?
No, we feel he's one of our very best Negro administrators in the district. Has had several years of teaching experience as well as administration.
Okay, here we go back to good again, you see. This is where we continue to differ as we did here. You see, again, I'm going to give you this point of sensitivity, whether you change it or not. That's what the young people say today, we'll change it for you. But anyway, we're trying to give you the sensitivity on the attitude of people who to send out. You see, because there are many blacks who alienate other black people by talking like a white man and acting like him and sounding like him. We call them niggas, to be very frank with you. We do not want niggas going out to look for black teachers, because you see, they will bring back a Negro who thinks just like the white teacher, and our kids are still deprived as they were before. We don't want just color in the school system. We're looking for attitudinal change today. And this is why I asked the question of the individual that you sent, whether or not he had any sensitivity training himself. I'm very serious. Do you know that? Did you?
We think he's very successful.
You see, again,
stay away from the word good.
Okay. Your thoughts, remember, today in the black movement and trying to, which your superintendent of the schools has very well condoned, and that is community control. We're trying to get people with an attitude who will work within that frame of reference. So you understand, that's why I meant sensitivity is very relevant to the person that you send out. Okay, on the part that they are going to recruit other teachers, I understand that there are some stipulations or requirements that a person must have before he can teach in California. Is that correct?
Correct.
Then how would you take a person, say, from Arkansas A&M and Pine Bluff or Texas Prairie View, and bring him to San Diego to teach? What would he have to go through before he could teach in San Diego?
Of course, he has to meet, as you already indicated, state requirements, which we don't set up. The state legislature has established them. But if he has graduated from an accredited institution with a bachelor's degree and the required amount of education courses in student teaching, he's eligible to come into California and begin. Then he has to complete some additional work while he's here. Right. This is not an impossibility, although at the secondary level, we've had more problems because this year, talking with many people in the secondary field, they have to have some postgraduate work, which means recent graduates have to go to summer school. And I talked with several who are not going to be able to go to summer school. Therefore, we were not able to give serious consideration.
Right. Now, the schools that you will send into, you mentioned four black colleges, for an example, who are not good black, but you mentioned black colleges that you would send them to. Will these colleges, within their curriculum requirements, benefit you here in San Diego before you send them? Do you know what their curriculum requirements are as far as the completion of certain courses that would be relevant to your teaching here before you send them there?
No.
Then you may be going through trial and error, is that correct?
They are accredited institutions, accredited by college accrediting agencies, and we have to rely upon them just like we have to rely upon these accreditations for San Diego State College or any other institution in the United States.
Not questioning that. I'm saying whether or not you have a curriculum requirements of that school before you send them. No. Then you're sending them people there who may not be able to recruit anyone there because they have not fulfilled the requirements as adequately to teach in California, correct?
No, I don't.
I think I can say what George is saying. Regardless of whether they are accredited or not by an association, Northeastern or Southwestern or what have you, is one kind of validity. George is asking another significant question, it seems to me. He is saying that state of California has certain requirements per se.
Right. Of course.
And the city's courses. And the city schools may have additional ones or not. Doesn't matter here. They are going to teach in California. Happens to be San Diego. All those colleges out there have different curricula, he is saying.
Yes.
You are sending to so many of those a pre-examination, he's really asking about, has a pre-examination been done in terms of payoff?
Of those colleges that you're sending and their curriculum?
That's right.
I'm sorry, no.
Then that's, see, okay, now I hope that you'll write this down on one of your things to do next year before you send out your recruiters blindly. Would you please? I'm very serious about this.
Well, I'm equally serious because it's very difficult to analyze the curriculum of a particular institution. Dr. O'Byrne would indicate that this is true.
You're still missing the question. The question is, I know that when I was in college, there were teachers there who were taking audiovisual education, for an example, at State, because the college they had gone to did not have, make it compulsory in order to be a teacher to have audiovisual education, okay? The state of California makes that requirement, right?
Right.
Now, couldn't you find out whether or not a college has that, which is a black college, before you send a recruiter there, so that that would be one of the base requirements? You wouldn't have to say, I'm sorry, I can't hire you. I'm sorry, you can't start because you don't have this course or that course. You're going through... No, what I'm saying is that's like saying that your recruiter down on 30th and Imperial would look for a school teacher.
No, we're not sending them out that blindly, excuse me.
My feeling is, George, that it isn't that big a deal to take the relatively few courses that most out-of-state teachers don't get that you need to teach in California, whether they're white, brown, or black. There's all over you need California, what constitution, and...
No, there's no California.
They knocked that out.
They don't have any problems in qualifying.
Yeah, but there really isn't that big a problem. The problem, I think,
That's not what George Hall told us.
When?
Right here at these dialogues. He said that's one of the basic big problems they have.
Yeah, let me see if I can rephrase so we can come at the same thing. What it is, the course that's being discussed is precisely that. Teachers coming from predominantly black schools, though accredited, have a deficiency in terms of the whole thing George is talking about, and it shows with the thousands who come into California, though accredited, they do not get jobs on several counts. George is articulating only one. The other is that speech habit.
Right.
When they're interviewed, their dress, their change of region. He is saying one of them is that when they come in numbers to the state of California, it has been found that, that's what he's talking about, they do not somehow get into this easy slot where you have to take only six courses, the visual aid, the history, and two or three other things. Instead, they find themselves not meeting the requirements of the state too well because of the differences in the teaching at the black colleges versus those here, or in white colleges.
I just can't believe it. I think a more valid question
I
is...
I have to tell you the truth.
No, but that is I had them
apply at the Urban League when I was job recruiter for a job, non-teaching job, because they could not get a job teaching in San Diego. I'm not from California.
I would be expect there's a whole bunch of teachers that come from out of state, white, black, and brown, who want to teach in San Diego, and they can't cut it because there's so many qualified teachers around. The question I would have is this. Ordinarily, when my friends in Colorado or anywhere write me a letter and say, hey, I want to teach in California, in San Diego, my usual thing is to say, well, you got a little problem. Because generally speaking, there are so many people who are well qualified and have their full permanent California credential that not too many provisional credential people are hired. It's easy to get a job in, say, Imperial County or in the desert or up in one of the mountain counties and stay there and get your credential and then apply for San Diego and the Bay Area and some of these favored schools. What my question would be, for considering the shortage of black and brown teachers, is this normal insistence on full credentialing that you can afford to do because so many people, more people want to teach in this area than want to teach, say, in Imperial County? Do you still require those people to have the full credential instead of the provisional credential?
This is a technicality, and I know what you mean.
I don't think it's technicality.
I know.
It's a reality.
There is a partial fulfillment credential.
Yeah.
So credentialing is only a part of the problem. If they've had student teaching and their degree, this is... But you see, we're talking now about teachers, if teachers were all teachers. And of course, teachers are tremendously categorized. I'll go onto a college campus and spend a day talking to social studies teachers, and we don't need any social studies teachers, but I'm talking to teachers. And when you look down at our listing to see whether we have primary teachers, this is a special group of teachers. We have upper grade teachers. This is a special group of teachers. We have special education teachers. This is a special group of teachers. They're not intermixed. We have at the secondary level social studies teachers, which are separate. English teachers are separate. Physical education teachers. So often people say, I know a teacher who doesn't have a job. And I say, well, I know some too. Now I say, then what about this teacher? Because a teacher is not a teacher is not a teacher. She's a teacher. He is a teacher of something, or a specialist in something. And this is where we get very much hung up.
Are you saying no, then, to Ernie's question? Regardless of the category, are you
we are not employing provisionally credentialed people. But I think he's forgotten that the provisional credential is really not much anymore.
No,
now it's a partial fulfillment, I think.
True.
Keeps changing from year to year, and it gets awfully hard to keep up.
Okay. Or whatever it is, do you insist upon?
We do not insist upon fully credentialed people in any category.
Well,
they're black, brown, or white.
Well, that's what I was going to.
They're fully credentialed, but they have not completed their 5 years of training. It's a regular credential.
One of the things I would ask is, because this is a problem at the college level too. We've got to make up our minds what we're going to do. Well, I'm not standing in judgment of anybody, but what I am saying is, considering the relatively small number of professional people in jobs, whether it be counseling or straight teaching or whatever, from the black and brown communities, do you make it easier for people coming from the outside who are black and brown to be employed than you would for a white teacher from the outside who came in and wanted to be employed?
No, we haven't finished that.
Well, I think this is where we're all wrong. We do the same thing.
I think it's a regular credential requirement, whether without regard. But I don't think this has been a factor in this particular instance.
Rosemary?
Well, my reaction to that then is that we really are not wicked. If that is the perception that they're going to be treated alike, that there really is no real recognition of the problem that exists then. And I think that until you have that recognition of the problem that exists, just like you have the statement of need that is necessary often if you're going to employ a provisional teacher or not a fully credentialed teacher, that statement of need can be given out for different reasons, but you have to define what the need is. Perhaps in a rural area, the statement of need would be dependent upon needing someone who could teach dairy farming or something, even though they had a social studies credential and they could teach dairy farming, so therefore you got a statement of need and you need them. Now, if we don't recognize the problem, and if you recognize the problem, you know the need is for more involvement of minorities, Mexican American and black, to be involved at all levels of the school system, especially in teaching positions. If we cannot even recognize that need, we could not ever be able to deal with stating what the need would be and then being able to have methods that would enable you to fulfill that need, and I think there's where the problem right now is.
Right. I want to just make one comment, if I can, Carol, before you know. Don't misunderstand me. They're very fast, and we're spending this time and energy and money to go to predominantly Negro colleges in an attempt to do what I just perhaps said we weren't doing. We're trying very hard to increase the number of people.
But I still say that I wonder if you really define the need, because even going to Negro colleges, so to speak, gets back to what George started talking about. What is the method that you utilize to go to the Negro colleges? And I'm saying that, getting back to what Carol said, if you take two task forces, perhaps, and let one be all white except for the one black Negro administrator who's going to go with them and recruit at a black college, take another all black task force with maybe one white in it, and in that black task force would be community people and someone who wears a natural. And this indicates we're going to talk to you like it is. And don't ask that recruiter on the campus, do you think that color makes a difference? Because generally it's a white asking them that question. And we don't realize that sometimes that communication is going to be open and honest. We ain't going to get it where it is. And so I'm saying that try these two levels and let them go along. And I bet that black group, made up of community people and professional people, could bring you back all the black teachers you could use. That's just the way I see it.
Right. I'm just getting back to Dr. O'Byrne's point. I guess what a lot of people are saying is that maybe if we hire black teachers using provisional credentials until they receive their full credentials, that since the situation is off balance now, and if we hire provisional people, provisional black people, until it does get up to the extent where we have an equal proportion of black teachers to the black areas in San Diego and so forth, then I think when we get to this point, then we can just say, well, we'll go back to the same standards for all. But I think there's sort of a lag of the problem is that there's a lag, and how do you best catch this? In other words, catch this teacher lag. And one of the reasons is probably giving some preference to black teachers. And the answer would be using the provisional credential.
Thus far, the state has not been willing to use, the State Department of Education has not been willing to use race as a background for the basis for approving provisional credentials. It's been on the availability of teachers in an area.
Do they realize the need?
Well, we're not really talking about state, we're really talking about local.
Yeah.
Carol? You mentioned state.
State Department of Education has to give us permission to apply provisional.
Okay, have you attempted to get this permission?
Yes, we have asked about this.
I mean, asking, that could mean a letter this year, and you get an answer next year. I mean, has there been any forcible...
The statement we have to answer, are there any regularly credentialed people available? That's the kind of question we have to ask.
No,
we have to ask her. Are there any?
What I'm saying is that, okay, you need some black teachers, and like I said, you have some provincial black teachers that come into the state that are not fully qualified. As well, they don't meet the California standard, but you need them here in San Diego. Is there some kind of way you can get these people into the school, and then work on their credentials as they work along in the school without having to have the full credential before these people are hired? Now, I know it's being done because I have a sister that's a school teacher teaching San Bernardino, and it's being done in San Bernardino. It can be done in San Diego.
San Bernardino can say it.
Yeah, they can say it.
They can say
it.
We cannot say it.
The answer to Billy's question is yes. The answer to his question is yes. All you have to do is state a required need. The required need is we're asking you for black and brown teachers. That's the required need.
I'm sorry.
Look, now wait a minute. No, I'm sorry too. Now, just a moment. You have to state as a leader or a head of that district that there is a required need within this general area.
He's missed a step, Ernie.
Forget it. Then let me go out there.
No. While he said that you have to state black and brown teachers, he's missed a step. What you have to say is something he's implying, according to what he's saying, namely that here's the condition which exists in the school district, and go through the particular channels that we go through for other things and ask some kind of provision that this be filled. That's what he's
doing. Let me write it down very specific to you. Lincoln High School has approximately 73 teachers. Approximately 9 to 10 of those are black. I'm going to tell you, with the next 2 years, you're going to need another 60 teachers at Lincoln that's black. Now, you're going to have to find some way to get them. That's all we're saying, to be very frank with you. That's only one school. You got junior high schools, elementary schools, the same condition exists. We're giving you very much reality because we definitely are moving to community control. There's no question about that. Because whites can dig that.
George.
Okay, now I'm giving you a need. Now wait, don't say but, George. Now I'll tell you another way you can do it. I'll give you another way. Here's approximately 10 different titles within the San Diego Unified School District, which was passed out this dialogue by George Hall some months ago. Secondary advisor, integrated advisor, career development counselor, secondary counselor, head counselor,
Sociologists, psychologists, district counselor, scholarship advisor, look, what it says at the bottom is that all these people do not need credentials. Now you go back and you recruit some teachers and let them fill these different jobs to come here, and then they can say they get their credential while they're doing that, but they're working in California and getting ready, just like the people you've had to do in the school system to get their administrative credentials. You've had three blacks working on administrative credentials because we have shown you a need for black principals at these two last black schools. You found a way to do it. That's the way to do it. That's all I'm saying.
That's something I think we ought to be sure. If I understood you to read, as you were reading those lists off, and then you said they did not require credentials.
I didn't say all of them. There are enough on here that do not require credentials for you to hire enough people.
I misunderstood you then. I thought you said they didn't require credentials.
Okay, advisor counselor here. The credential was modified in 1961.
It requires a credential.
The district created the title and job description of advisor included with brief description of positions followed. It does not have to. Look, man, I know we've had a stupid cracker named Nils at Lincoln, who was a counselor over there, who came off the police force. Don't tell me he had to have a credential. You hired him.
Credential in two different ways, and maybe I can clarify that. George is saying that for the specific job description category, there need not be further qualifications. That's what George is saying.
They have counselors now with no credentials.
Advisors. Yes. They have no credentials, he is saying, and say pupil personnel. You're using the word credential to mean the classification used at the state level, which is a teacher. Okay, you're using it in two different ways. So if you eliminate your use of the word credential, George, and tell him other ways you were talking about, then you'd be on the same frequency.
My only way is, Carol, is that's going to be teachers. They're going to be black. And I'm sure Browns have the same feeling. That's all I'm saying. I'm just giving you a reality and hoping that you will deal with it before it becomes necessary to have to close the school down to get it. And that's going to be a bad situation, since you have paid recruiters to go out and do this. You have people to do these professional things. Now, if your recruiters had took care of business a long time ago who was white, if they had gone to black schools instead of just all white schools, we wouldn't be dealing with this problem today. So your racist recruiters went to all white school, came back with all white teachers, now we have this problem. So now you tell them to forget about going to the all white schools, don't go to nothing but black schools, all of them. Send them all out to nothing but black and brown schools. Then they can bring you back and get the balance like you did when you sent them all to all white schools. Now, I know this don't seem to you like equality. It seems like racism to you. Yes, this is racism in reverse. If you say you're committed to do something about it, you're going to have to put the emphasis on the black man and the brown man in order to make the adjustment. You cannot go on and say, I look at everybody through the same tier. If he has a credential, we'll measure him on the same level. No, you cannot. He has to be measured on a different level. You are looking for black teachers, then you're going to have to make some consideration of how you're going to get them in there. And you already have the vehicle for which to do it. It's in your school system. It's there. And you can do it if you commit yourself to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I just wanted to ask very directly. I still haven't gotten feeling on my part whether there, on the part of the school system, there is a commitment. I like to hear, you know, very explicitly, is there a commitment to actually hire black and brown teachers, even if it means somehow using some way or means to eliminate the procedure, the regular credential, use provisional credential, I mean, put pressure on the state if that's necessary. I'd like to hear a commitment. I haven't heard it. Maybe it's instead, maybe I just wasn't tuned in.
Well, I'm not the district, as you understand, as was made earlier, but we're highly committed to employing all the good Negro brown. Of course, I'm not hooked up again on good.
Don't use it.
Yes, sir.
Qualified, whatever word you want to use.
Don't use that either.
All right? To do something about it, I'm assuming that you do insist on standards for those teachers who are teaching your boys and girls.
You don't want to use the law or standards.
This is a qualified. I don't know what word you want me to use, but if we get hooked up on a word, you know what we're talking about. And our district is committed to this. We're moving as rapidly as we can, but
as long as they're qualified.
I don't want to point the finger at Dr. O'Byrne, but you ask him how many are going to graduate in education at San Diego State College this year.
No, don't ask him that question yet. Ask him, first of all, if he knows how many blacks are already in San Diego. They're without a job. You already have them unemployed.
This isn't his fault, but this is our hang-up.
There's no hang-ups in San Diego on your hiring black teachers. There are black teachers in this city now that's available to teach, and they come to me. They cannot get a job.
You've got some kid stuck off in a probation officer's council up there who wants to teach physical education right now, but you don't have one black coach in the city of San Diego.
Well, your party.
You got a black coach in San Diego?
I don't know what you mean by a coach.
You have a head black coach in San Diego.
I don't know what you call Earl Faison.
Earl Faison is an assistant to everybody out there. That's who Earl. I'm talking about like Bob Moss was a head coach of the coach at Crawford.
We employed Mr. Faison to be a PE teacher.
That's all he is. We're not talking about PE teacher. You didn't have Annie Hartzog been a PE teacher all his life. So was Harold Brown. But they're not coaches in a high school curriculum where they have a school system. I am saying that you have black students now. I know two myself. One had to take a job at the University of San Diego because there was no credential requirements. There's another black kid who works at a probation counselor because he can't get a job coaching, and he was a basketball player. But the thing is, they're available. They have made themselves available. They're here now in San Diego. And if you want some assistance in recruitment, because the Negroes that you're seeking to recruit, I know they don't know where they are. They would know where to look. I would be very happy to assist you in coming up with black teachers who are here now who will go to work for you in September.
We're glad to have anybody refer to us.
Oh, look, I've been referring black people ever since. For 5 years, I've been referring black people to teach, and we've been going through the window.
And I have never had a conversation before this moment.
I'm talking about your people who hired them. They have been referred before. They're on your files, many of them now, and cannot get a job. I suggest that you review your files by race code. Do you have any dictation of race in
your
files?
Up to this time, we've been under the impression that the Fair Employment Act said we were not to keep pre-employment inquiries.
Then all you have to do is look at their address, and they'll tell you where they live. And look at their eyes. If they're brown, you know that they ain't white. That's all you have to do. You don't need to put a number on there. I'm very serious about this. You can look through your files and you have them there.
I'm just as serious as you are.
But then look through your files and get them.
We do not have pictures. We're not allowed to have pictures in our files. We're not allowed to keep this.
I say if their eyes is brown on the application, you know they're not white.
Can you put an ad in newspapers? Can you run an ad in newspapers?
Well, let's see if we can get down to one other question that was left hanging. Let me ask you, what is your problem?
Our problem is the availability of well-trained, qualified people.
We can't supply you with those guys.
Well, now, I mean, any college person can tell you this, and it's not their fault either. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But there are not large numbers of black and brown individuals graduating in education from college and universities. And those that are highly competitive from the standpoint of the labor market. When I go on a college campus and I talk to a math teacher who is black or brown, alongside of me will be somebody who's going to offer this person two or three times the salary I could possibly offer.
Don't say California pay one of the highest salaries in the country?
Not anymore.
They do not. What is the highest? How many other states are high in California?
Detroit's starting their teachers at $7,500 this year.
Now, how many other states pay more than California?
Of course.
It ain't the state, it's the district.
There are several districts that pay more than San Diego's district. Is that what you're saying?
Let me go back and ask the question again. That's a given then. What is your problem? Do you have one? Competing?
We're competing with other school districts, with other industries and businesses for these people.
Okay.
What other problem do you see, if there's any other dimension of that?
I think we're now solving another problem, because at one time, teachers, black, brown, or white in San Diego, were assigned anywhere in the community. Now there's a real demand that they be assigned in certain areas of the community.
No, I mean in recruitment now.
Oh.
In recruitment. What other problem, if any, do you see in recruitment? For example, do you meet with a lot of black groups, brown groups, and say, let's break these down, and we need input from you?
We're trying to do this now more than we used to. I don't know yet, Carol, whether we're the beginning.
All right.
One of the things you do need, though, is more, if possible, a larger pool of candidates graduating from San Diego State who are from the black and brown community.
I try to say there is not a pool, a comparable pool.
Won't you say it positively? Won't you say that there is a need?
Excuse me. All right. Yeah. Much better.
Let's be sure to say, Carol, this is not part of the answer, Dr. O'Byrne. Be very serious.
we have had black men and black women to leave San Diego because they could not get a comparable position in San Diego. Able sites is one.
I'm just saying we got our problems, and this is one of our problems.
Okay, if this school district does not give someone an inspiration to excel in education in San Diego, to major in the field, by promoting other minorities who are already in the field to hold positions, they're not going to major in education, and I would advise them not to in San Diego. They should major in engineering because this is what blacks are at a premium. They should major in administration because blacks are at a premium. Not education. You see, you have to give them incentive. So stop making the blacks who are out here, who have been here, one of the best black men in the school system in San Diego, his name was Payne. The man had to retire without ever being really heard and understood. He was one of the best administrators in the city of San Diego. The man retired, going down, not being able to even be heard by the system, trying to work within it. You never even promoted him. You know, that's a cold shot on a man. But you see, you don't give anybody an inspiration to go on to major in education. Like somebody told me in college, well, you better change your major in elementary education if you want to get a teacher's job because you can't be a coach and get a job in San Diego. And how true they were. That was 10 years ago and you still don't have a black coach.
What other problems do you have? I haven't been able yet to really ask for input in helping you to solve your problem. That may be my hang-up, but I really don't know yet what your problem is.
I'm sorry, Carol, then I'm not going to be able to communicate. I don't.
Well, you mentioned what the categories were, as we said to Bud. We know what the categories are now, recruitment.
I want to find a physics teacher. I don't know. I would have a very difficult time finding a black or a brown physics teacher.
High school physics. You have a very hard time finding a white physics teacher.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, come on, man. You know, that's like asking for secretaries black in San Diego. You can't even find white secretaries. Come on, don't give me that about physics. Come on.
Why would you have a difficult time?
There seems to be a concentration, at least in our experience, of black and brown college education graduates in the fields of physical education, in social studies, and in music. Now, there are others, but these three fields particularly. These are also fields in which there are a tremendous number of other applicants, and they are fields where we employ the fewest number of new teachers in a year.
All right, let me see if I can phrase mine again so we can give you an input before we close, if possible. I'm not sure we can. Assuming that it's, again, a given that you have low ratio of teachers in these areas, that's just the reality you're telling us. It's not a problem, it's just the reality. If you were seeking throughout the United States to find the 10 that might be available in graduating, now we can rephrase the question. How do you go about competing with and surveying those 10 that are available? That's what I'm trying to get at so we can give you an input.
I'm not going to do very well, Carol, in answering that. We're doing everything, we're doing as many things as we know how in the way of contacting these people, informing them of the opportunities in San Diego. The district has urged to the Board of Education salary schedules which are competitive with other places. These are the things we're doing. We're not doing perhaps as good a job for sure as we ought to be doing. There may be some other things we could be doing. Don't misunderstand. I don't think we're obviously not being fully successful. We're just working at it.
That's what we could be doing.
I guess then, what do you need?
We need help for high salary schedules in San Diego.
Well, let's go ahead. We can help you there. I mean, what can
you
we?
Ask me what
you're no, but you flipped the page on it. What can we do to help you increase the number of black or brown teachers as we're talking now? What can we do, as well as Boyd over here? What can we do to help you solve whatever your problem is?
Improving the image of San Diego, which this group is doing. I've had some Negro friends in San Diego who have said.
You're flipping the page on us again. I'm trying to communicate. Stick with the categories you talked about. Recruiting, around the country, etc. Stick with that. Not image. Stick with that. Is there any input we can give you in increasing the number of black or brown people in the employment area?
Okay.
except as we can encourage young people to go to college, and as you people can help us with suggestions. I'm sorry, I'm not really up with you at all on that.
Madam Chair, do you do anything in your recruitment like say, we will give you assistance in finding a house? We have community support. They will make available to you rentals, or there we will have someone who will specially help you find a home. We will have a group of people who will help your children join organizations. Do you have any sort of little package of intangibles that you take with you?
Yes, in our own office, for example, we will do all the procedures, for example, with licensing in the state of California, which is their responsibility, but we have everything set up in our office. The San Diego Teachers Association has had a housing bureau for many years, which the district has helped support also in providing housing.
For minorities?
Yes.
I mean, do you articulate that
yes.
you give them help?
Yes.
I'm just wondering, those seem to be some areas maybe we could...
Rosemary?
Carol, another thing I think was significant was when he said that he had never talked to George before. George is well known within the community, even having been employment specialist with Urban League. It would have occurred to me that this would have been, if we were going to the community, one of the individuals that would have had to been involved if we were reaching out to the community, and it's only in less than a year that has not been his field. So to not even have tapped that, which is a rather systematized approach, even though we don't put George in that category, would that somehow we have already bypassed the community. Now he has indicated, I have heard him say this morning, and he's mentioned three people, I can think of about two who come to our office, who were teachers and couldn't get jobs. It says to me that right here we've got a pool of maybe five people. You're talking about the emphasis on youth, but we know that when finally the business world found out there are black men and one that they had to go to the post office department because everyone there had master's degrees and PhDs that were black. So maybe we need to look in other places other than the college graduates. We know they're not in the education department, but let's find all those that have been and let the community help you develop a resource pool of persons who maybe were teachers 10 years ago and are now over managing a restaurant someplace because at that time they couldn't get in. And let's try and help these people get in. And let the community be the ones to tell them, now it is possible, because the school system cannot really tell them that because they don't really feel that yet.
I appreciate
this suggestion. We've had many contacts over the years when John Johnson was actively involved here and now back, but this is just my first opportunity.
Let me give you a joke on this. There was a certain university in San Diego that was looking for a man to work in the physical education department that was black. He asked other blacks at first on campus, you know, he asked the janitors to give him a hand. And they laughed at this person when they told him that you've had a physical education major working in the custodial department for 9 years and he finally quit last week. You could have had him available at your service. That to me, I thought, that just happened a few months ago. That's why I suggested, look in your files that you now have. You may be very much surprised if you are specifically looking for black and brown people, which before we look at only at names, I think that would be of assistance to you.
Before I introduce that our city councilman who is here, to stand up and let us meet him, and glad to have him. Before I do that, let me suggest, Clayton, we know you didn't get on today, but you'll get on, don't worry. Let me make another simple statement that cuts through all this. It's really difficult. We got through with this with Ernie O'Byrne. We're flying through it with the city and county. It is a simple thing. The community is out there, strangely enough. The city schools haven't used it. In terms of what we're talking about today now. The city had not used it until recently. The county had not used it until recently. Whatever you need, I mean that literally, in terms of know-how, expertise, from test constructors by colleges all the way down, expertise in anything in employment, it is there in the black and brown community. And we can help you get it. I'm suggesting that the simplest thing to do is say, look, every 2 weeks we want to meet with 10, 11, 15, 2 black and brown on an ongoing basis until we plow through it and utilize their skills in helping change the community. That is simple, it said, but we find it awfully difficult to do. I'm just suggesting that the community is there and it's anxious and willing to really go to the bat for you. If you come to them and say, we have a problem, help us solve it. I'm suggesting, of course, that that is not being done now. And I'm suggesting it as the specific input for the group here. Simply call on it. Call on the total community. They have all this expertise you need. I don't care what it is. We'll help you even get black and brown recruiters and can guarantee you that the observation your placement officers made does not jive with all the big companies. For example, Howard University, predominantly black, is invaded every spring quarter, as you know, with a contingent to hire blacks, and all the big companies now send black recruiters, except now and then there's some whites. But most companies over the country, I'm saying, their experience contradicts what your placement officer said, as well as Bud is shaking his head as he knows, he agrees, that we have found, and I'd like to sit down with you and give you some companies who have developed a highly skilled team of minority, black and brown, in one instance Indian, to go recruit, and they're successful. I'm suggesting that don't take that face value. You've got the black people in the community, make use of us. You've got the brown people in the community, make use of us. That's what I'm saying. George?
I just thought about three. It's not on the him again. Right. It's just some areas where he can go before Bud's back. And just three questions. I think the one to Bud was that it states on your breakdown that the number of apprentices in the total employee in the city is 25. And I hope I'm looking correct here now. This is number of apprentices?
Sounds about right.
25?
Yeah.
This was raised in open as a question here as a way to get minorities in, you know, to be trained since they don't have the prior experience in the apprenticeship. This is what apprenticeship's all about. But I notice in these categories, out of the 25, you only have one black person and one brown. That's very cool. Especially when it's intended.
I
would like very much for you to look into this because it has some effect, I'm sure, upon recruitment requirements for apprenticeship. It has to. It's reflected here in the report. This is so old, and still it hasn't happened yet. Specifically, it was related to Mrs. Wade still here. This was one of the questions that was basically asked when Blacks and Browns walked out of a meeting one morning. The same questions that were put before this group have not really been responded to as of now. And one of those specifically related to those that were here in representation was equal end discrimination in employment at the community conference. Just period. Find ways to end discrimination of those 200-300 people, whoever has that authority. Yeah, just find a way to end it. Now, whatever that way is, or you do not base them on, do not give them good performance. And these reports should show you whether or not it's ended.
Community concourse is not a concern of city personnel. It's run by a separate corporation.
I'm speaking directly to those employees who are here on the Mr. Biggie recruits downstairs. I'm speaking to those persons who work at this community concourse.
Sorry about the ones working right here.
Oh,
building.
Oh, I thought you meant it.
Yeah, I'm speaking right here to the image factor which our city gives, which is a very
good. She's wrong, George. She's not been over there.
No. Okay, and the other one was local. We asked that the local government declaration give a declaration that traditional employment testing criteria are invalid with minority race applicants due to established educational disadvantage to them inherent in the educational system of racism. So what we're saying is, if a person cannot be taught in a proper manner within our schools, and this has been proven at Lincoln High School, that the kids could not pass an entrance exam in college, then what it's really saying is he's going to have a hard time passing the test for your job. So what has happened by the school system has imposed upon him and passed on to him down the line of employment. And we've asked you to make it more relevant, the test themselves, to the job, instead of using it more or less as a screening factor, and especially as a first minority. The other one was the immediate appointment or promotion of the San Diego Police Department of Minority Officers in the following manner, which we gave the black officer, the brown officer, to the various ranks of sergeants. Now, I know that there was a temporary test that was set up to establish the community relations office staff, etc., but it did not promote the men with any authority type position where they could be in control of men. And again, this is the part of where it's needed, so that people can impose their attitude upon someone else. And this is what you have now. You have white people who impose their attitude upon black people. And a good example was by the black man who got off when a black woman was coming up for an interview off the recreational board. Well, this is the thing, we put the black man there from the first place, so he stood on that board to give this black person a chance, but yet the person backed down. So imposing attitudes and will upon others is very important. So we need people in influential positions who can impose this attitude upon those persons who work under them.
Okay. I don't think
these were not responded to.
Yep.
That's why I brought them up again here. And then about 6 months before we walked out, it was brought up that time. So we're at about a year and a half now. The last presentation that was made concerning the appointments of minorities on the Civil Service Commission, I don't believe has been responded to. But what we're saying...
The mayor's prerogative.
Well, okay.
Mayor?
You see...
The mayor of the city of San Diego appoints members of the commission.
Okay, let us say this. The white people have more finesse these days in hiring to influence other white people. Black people don't have very much finesse. We're not very political. We seem to do things in a negative way, and when we do it, it causes a whole lot of animosity and dissension. We would love for the white leaders to take this, to impose upon the mayor to do this before some person like, you know, George Stevens, a radical, who would sit before the council and not let them go on with the meeting until they just did it. That would not be very nice to do. It would cause disruption. Okay, I think you could do it more positive, and we would impose upon you to do it if you would.
All right, I think the last man who will have a say is our city councilman, Lanson. Would you please stand, and we're glad to have you. Want to say a word or two?
My first doctrine, you might say, to this meeting here, of course, as you all know, I'm one of the youngest councilmen that is appointed, even though I'm an old age. But I had to get my feet wet in a meeting with this group here, not meeting with this again.
I hope you can be back next time and the next, and bring some city councilmen, some of your colleagues with you too. Thank you for coming.
Mr. Lance, this is the place, incidentally, where you learn what sensitivity is all about.
Thank you.
We had that one argument before. I'm sorry. One thing I can tell you, if you want to win friends, boy, you better be more friendlier.
I do hope that in all sincerity, I will not comment or react as I would be ordinarily expected to. I do hope, though, that the new city councilman would come in and participate more in the dialogues themselves, because we have invited the officials in the city and the school board, etc. So we serve very much. And I feel that after you're here a while, you would not call, you would not use the word boy again. So, this is one of the parts. This is no reflection upon you as an individual. It's just an age-old saying which white people have tended to use. We understand that. But it's backed up by a very strong thing which we call racism, and we try to eliminate that here.
All right. Is there any other final word of wisdom? See you in 2 weeks. Thank you. All of you to take seats up at the front table here.
That's right. Matter of fact, I'm going to say that.
Yeah, a little more comfortable up here.
Yeah. Not often that one gets a chance to sit in the city councilman's chambers, seats, yeah, and chairs without.
Yeah.
Take the seat up front, wear a hat. Let us know who you are. Enjoy it. We don't have too many those who were asked to come, but I do have a communication that the city school people are all in Florida to the National School Board Association 29th Annual Conference. And that's why they couldn't be here. Invitations were sent out to Dr. Hornback, board members, Dr. Hall, all board members, Dr. Hall, and the superintendent. And they are in this conference in Florida today, or will be leaving this morning. So therefore, they are not here. However, we didn't get replies from superintendent until Wednesday, was that, Dr. Hall? And it was too late then to suggest that we cancel it for today. So it meant that we continued with the same topic, although we knew about it Wednesday afternoon, the day before yesterday. I can't say, therefore, that we should go on with discussing the items that we would have discussed without any of those from the school administration here at all. We can discuss educational items, obviously, as long as we know that it won't be in the same context that it would have been in had they been here. That's true. Or we can change and look at something else that have nothing to do with a gender item as such. For example, we've been discussing for the past week, and we continued it this morning up here, with regard to minorities, for example, the black and the brown, and in their engagement in the city community dialogue. Since it has been observed past month that it's been a decreasing of numbers, we could look at that. We could do some of the other things and examine other issues or other kinds of concerns that we might have. And since we have many at the table this morning and some around, let me suggest that I stop and get some reactions on where you think we should go this morning. Done?
Maybe Florida.
To Florida tomorrow? To Florida. Well, for your information, I will be leaving tonight for Florida. I will be presenting a paper tomorrow in Florida, in Miami. No, I don't present it until Monday.
Monday morning.
Monday morning, I present the paper to this same educational association.
Well, what are you going to do?
They don't know I'm going to be there yet, no.
What are you going to do for?
What's that? If I get hijacked, I want a good day in Cuba. I want a full day in Cuba.
Oh, I see. You want a weekend or back?
No, it starts today, but I won't get that till Sunday.
Oh, I see. Where you going, by stagecoach?
It's 11 hours with the change of difference in time to get there.
I hear you now. I understand now.
You understand now?
Understand.
I'm going to Cuba by way of Miami, you understand?
All right.
Or Miami by way of Cuba.
All right.
And if any of you would want to know the flight number so you can do the hijack, and I'd like to spend an extra day in Havana, let me know. I mean, I'll let you know what flight it is, and you can let me know when you're going to put the gun up there and everything, and I'll come on back to Miami then.
You can be a
no, not for that. Not for that.
Legal aid
is over here.
It's okay.
And we have this, look, we have the deputy, just the city attorney here.
He is pretty bad. He's very quiet.
He's like a brilliant plane.
We have a city councilman here.
They're brilliant back from cigars.
What do you think that we should, in this atmosphere this morning, we can probably examine some issues that some of you might have been wanting to discuss for a while. People still talk about the school, of course.
What about the PTA meeting? That's one thing I've never been able to understand about the PTA meetings. It's supposed to be parent and teacher getting together, discussing school and students. But usually it winds up that the teachers are always the ones that take the lead in whatever operation is supposed to go on, and the parents are just on the sideline. I don't think the parents are really involved in the PTA as such. They're not really heard. They voice their opinions, of course, but it doesn't really take effect.
Could I ask him a question? What PTA group is he a member of?
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
And then we can go on with the assumption that he's right. Yes, he's Doctor.
Yeah, more practical.
Some of the PTAs that I've attended sure wasn't that way. These PTA gals get up and run the show. And how?
And PTA, excuse me.
I think it should be. I don't know whether this is a spot thing that he's talking about, or I don't think it's a tendency. At least my experience with PTA, they run the show pretty good. Maybe it's got a picture.
You mean the parents?
Yeah.
It seems to me that there is quite a bit of truth to what Anderson is saying, and that the show that's being run may be run by the parents, but whose policies are they there to reinforce? The parents' policies, or the policies that the teachers and the administrators have indicated to the PTA that they want to implement? Now they get up and bang the gavel and this type of thing. But at the same time, I think that the policies are not the policies of the parents, except as the parents are either told by teachers or administrators, or they go to them and ask, what should we do? What should our project be? What would you like for us to do?
May I ask the same question? What PTA are you a member of?
I'm not a member. My wife is a member of the Fletcher Hills PTA.
Let's see if we can put this in a framework so we can talk about it. One of the issues around the country has been for years that PTAs are in house shops, expressions of the superintendent or expressions of the school or its group manipulated by principals or some administration. And this issue has been covered widely in all kinds of communities, magazines, journals. It is still an important question, I suppose, in most circles. What should be the role of PTAs? What has been the role of PTAs? What is the new evolving role of PTAs? Recently, there's been much discussion within the framework of the local control concept, that this is an opportunity where many citizens, parents, can begin to influence the change of policy as opposed to just extending it. So we put it in that kind of context. We say it is an issue, has been an issue, then we probably can talk about it without tying it down to any one PTA per se, although tying it down to our own experiences in San Diego. Jim?
I had no squabble with any of the statements that were made. I just only made the statement to open up the medium. First of all, we have to look at the PTA. It's the parent advisory. Board, and it's not a legislative body, and I think this is the reason for the statement that are being made about the role of the PTA until you make it a legislative body with power to affect change, then you're going to have a group that is in support of the present program at this school, which is assumed that it has the approval of the community or the city, because you can't change any advisory group to a legislative group unless you so state. And the PTA is only the community people supporting the program of the local school in the community where they are, and they vary as the community needs present themselves. I think this is where we have our hang up. It may be true that what you're saying is correct, but I said that by the same token, we have to look at what the role of the PTA really is. It's not a legislative body, and they have no power to do anything other than if they decide to get the community behind and bring pressure, as we've been doing in some areas, on the city school system itself. But as far as the local school is concerned, they can't do anything but support the program of the local school.
Okay. I'll give you a lesson. Last year, when elementary students graduate, in most schools there's some type of a ceremony, and most of the children wear white shirts, a tie, and dark trousers, and I guess the girls wear something to that effect. Now, one school in particular had no such program, and quite a number of the parents called the Legal Aid Society and asked me if there was something I could do about it. I called the principal of that particular school and asked him what was the policy. He said, well, figured it wasn't necessary because it was a hardship on the community, and he decided that they shouldn't do it.
Let me stop you a minute. What is it that they were not having, the ceremony wearing of the
uniform? The uniform dress. They were having the ceremony, of course, but the ceremony itself was really a joke as far as the kids were concerned. I would imagine that student graduating from the elementary school to the junior high school should be a big thing for him. This should be something that he should remember, something outstanding in his mind. But the principal deemed that it wasn't necessary to go through a big ritual just to go from elementary school to junior high school. Now, what I did, I turned right around and I called another principal in the same locale but a different school, and I asked him what was his policy on that. He said he would be glad to have it. People in the community take on an act like this, because he thought in his mind that it was a great thing and the kids should have of a memory of their elementary school days going on into junior high school, and he said he was all for it. And of course I didn't tell him who the other principal was, and he said to me that he couldn't see any principal making a statement like that, deprive children of having some type of a memory of their elementary school days going into the junior high school. Now, the principal sat down this
one. This is no reflection on the PTA, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Now, what I'm saying, I said that to say this, I knew you were going to fall in my trap. You brought up at the PTA meeting that this was done, that this particular thing be done. Yeah.
That
the uniform dress and so forth for the ceremony of the graduating from elementary school to junior high school. And they couldn't get any place with it in the PTA.
I think what the question I think is that even the PTA, they're supposedly working in an advisory capacity, even with their recommendations, with anything other than social activities such as cheese and cake sales and all this other stuff that the school system doesn't seem to be receptive to any type of program recommendations. Recommendations and things of this nature. So consequently, they are not even effective in an advisory capacity because the school system don't listen to them. Even there with the case of changing the name of Staunton School.
this has been advised, this was recommended by the PTA, this was recommended by a lot of other agencies, a lot of individuals, a lot of people in the community. But when it gets to the board there, actually, this doesn't mean anything, you know, because we're in this hassle now that we're trying to change the name of Stockton School and studies got to be made and all this other chaos. And it's been drawing on there for a month, and all this other work to make a difference there. These guys have got to first study who Stockton was and then decide on it, and we haven't decided on yet. So I am kind of in line there with the Anderson's thinking that, as far as I'm concerned, I have been a member of quite a few of the PTAs, because I had children in all those schools there in the Logan Heights area, which is Stockton, Crockett, Logan, and the rest of them. And I find that with anything other than just social activities there, that it really doesn't mean anything. And probably we should be exploring there the role of the PTA there, and just that is what they can do. If they find that they can't do anything, then possibly maybe I think it's a waste of effort.
I don't know, but could everybody hear him?
He's talking about legislation, policy changes, an advisory board can't legislate. That's all I'm saying. I'm not just disagreeing with what they're saying, but the Stockton PCA is not a legislative body to the Board of Education. They can't affect change. They can recommend.
What I'm saying there, Jim, is that they're not even an advisory. They're not even working in the advisory capacity
there
that you say that they're
doing. They must be the advisor.
They can't advise anybody. You know, you can't work as an advisor if your recommendations there is not adhered to. It doesn't make any difference.
I think it's a mathematics here, Mr. Chairman. He's talking about recommendation adhered to.
Let's break it down, Jim. John posed the question, maybe following the others. We need to explore, so he says, the role of PTA, their function. I think you were saying the same thing.
Yeah,
only you gave one of their.
Yeah, I'm saying the same thing, that if we're going to, we're talking about the PTA as it is presently structured, its role. Now, if you're going to change its role, then you're going to have to reconstruct, you're going to give it some teeth. Because it doesn't have any now. Advisory board is nothing but a bunch of people who come together and say such things that they feel should be this, that, or the other. And that's all they can do.
Okay.
Let's see if there are other comments. Hold a minute. Let's see if there are other comments that might bear on this.
Well, as a past president of PTA unit, I feel that it all boils down to involvement of the parent and the board. If they really want to, if they're involved, and if they do their own work and act autonomous, they can do anything they want to do. But most of the time, the presidents are busy and they don't tend to their business, and they have to come to the school and have the school do this, write the program. Everything is dumped to the school. So what do you think is going to happen when a place is doing all your work for you? You're like the secretary, she isn't doing her job, and even the money, maybe the treasurer isn't doing her job, or the newsletter has to be gotten out, the school has to do this, write it up, print it, and everything. So what do you expect when you delegate your authority? So I, as the president myself, I did all my work, and I didn't have any problem. But you get one president that does do this, and the next one comes along while she's lazy, and she's going to fall back into the trap. So I believe that you could, if you get the right persons in your PTA, they don't have to do with the school. They can become independent of the school. And the PTA, nationally, and it could be locally, one of the most powerful organizations of women in the world. They have the power, but they don't seem to know it. I know they're not locally, they don't seem to know it.
Well, I just react to the past presidents or other members there being lazy. I don't think that's really a thing. I think that
is the feeling or apathy that maybe parents have had, maybe why they are not active there, because it doesn't make any difference, because they haven't had any past experience there of rewarding experiences when they get into things there, other than social programs and things of this nature. So consequently, there's no sense in doing all this work, and if this work there is not going to do any good. This is one of the reasons why I quit.
Well, this is in your mind. If you feel it, you aren't going to do any good. If the mother feels she isn't going to do any good, well, then she really isn't going to do any good. It's just a state of mind, what you feel and what you want to get out of something. If you just want to be a president to say that you were a president and nothing else but that, then you aren't going to get anything out of it.
Now, last night, I had heard of PTA or parent participation in the old time mission. And what I noticed was that all the mothers were there, but no fathers. Now, does this happen in the white community too? All mothers, all women,
all of them would be one.
Well, wait a minute. Let's ask white answer that, Mr.
Church.
Beautiful black. hold on, Jim. You can't answer from over these things now. What about that in the white community? Some white.
Jim's right.
He's white.
Well, I would say at the board meetings, it's almost all women, and this is because it occurs in the middle of the day. I'm vice president of the O'Farrell PTA, also a member of the board of the Encanto PTA, and I have suggested many times that we have our board meetings at night. Not only to get men, I wasn't really thinking of this, but to get the mothers who are working involved. But this is just really hasn't gone over.
Well, see, this was in the evening.
However, at the night meetings in both O'Farrell and in Cato, we get many fathers attending. At the board meetings, no. Well, while I'm talking, I'll just give a few more impressions of PTA. I feel that as a real vital group that's going to have influence on the schools, that this isn't the way to go, because the image is already so set. I feel that it's become organizational bound, and it's almost impossible to break out of this and do anything fresh and new. You can do a lot of good things within this framework, and it probably should be continued. I feel that the citizens' advisory committees that have been set up in the ESCA school are doing really what you might hope PTA would do. They're discussing the actual problems of the school, the relationships between teachers and students, and students and students, and school and community. And this is where I feel we really need to work, particularly in the O'Farrell multiracial community. And this Citizens Advisory Committee, I feel, has a lot more punch and power to it than I feel in the PTA situation.
We frequently, in dealing with so many organizations, assume that they're not capable of changing. I think that this is a mistake, that a number of organizations have demonstrated some ability to change. Now, you talk about PTA, that's Parent Teachers Association. You talk about Citizens Advisory. Now really, wouldn't the names imply essentially the same thing? So instead of the people who could be effective in PTA working to bring about a change, they say, well, let's start up something new because the PTA is not doing it. Now, in response to Jim's statements down here that they don't have that they're not a legislative body, that's true. But the thing about it is, administrators are, in many instances, semi-legislative themselves. Many rules and so forth are dictated by administrators. Now, to advise means, presumably, that there's going to be on somebody on the other end listening to the advice. This may be the school board, it may be the administrators. But to say that they are an advisory board, therefore there's no teeth in it, that's true, but that's only half of the story, because the responsibility of the administrators and the legislative body is to listen to the advice. The president has all sorts of advisors. the decisions that the chief executive makes are his decisions, but he draws on the advice of the people who are there for that purpose. In most organizations, and many organizations, there are really two purposes. One is their stated purpose, and the other one is the secondary or the real purpose in many instances. PTA, the stated purpose is to advise, but the real purpose, I think, is to rubber stamp and to reinforce the policies of the administrators and the school board. That's really what they're doing. But that's not the stated purpose.
I could really go on for quite a while to state what PTA could or could not do. I have experienced PTA in various areas of San Diego. We could break it down into what happens to PTAs in Southeast San Diego. We could break it down into why people write articles denouncing PTA. And when you do go back onto those particular articles, it's always somebody that seems to have a pet peeve against PTA. If they had a duty to do, and they decided, well, they weren't going to do it, or their home chores got them around to where they couldn't do it, and so to save face, then they decide that that was a useless duty in PTA. I have been a parent most of the times that things that I've done has been in PTA. If the things that I felt were useful that I have done were social activities and just sitting up there drinking tea and coffee, then I really don't know what I have been doing all of that time. Because there are clinics that usually are put up for those who can afford to send their children to the doctors every month or whenever they have something. I'd like to state the objects of PTA as what's on my card. And I'm only reading it is because I have participated in PTA and I find some of the things were very useful. Working with the people were very good experiences. And I feel this has got me to where I can make the few statements I'm going to make this morning. But if you'd like to have another meeting and break it down into what you really could do to help the PTAs in Southeast San Diego or in San Diego, period. But we're talking about, I thought we were talking about Southeast San Diego since it was brought up like that. Now, first I'll read the object. That's the way I understood them. One, to promote the welfare of children and youth in home, school, and community. Two, to raise the standards of home life. To secure adequate laws for the care and protection of youth, children and youth. To bring into close relation the home, the school, that parents and teachers may cooperate intelligently in training of the child. Five, to develop between educators and the general public such united efforts as will secure for every child the highest advantages in physical, mental, social, and spiritual education. Well, in breaking it down to what happens to PTAs, you run into the parents who say, well, the PTA can't tell me how to run my child. I think they have each school area has various meetings or meetings that, a certain amount of meetings that they should have for the month or for the year. One is a health program. One has to do about supposedly your mental capacity or how your spiritual values help in raising a child or helping to give this or bringing together some problems that arise at school. And on one of the other president's packets, it says that you cannot go in, you know, and demand the principal do such and such. Now, I do feel that the parent advisory committees that they have set up now, that is taking some of the PTA people that could do something a little more useful, I feel that really is something, what they're asking them to do is something they should have asked the PTA to do or to put more punch into the PTA. It has been very discouraging working because as the time goes on and more, I'll say, minority communities, and like I said, I don't want to pinpoint it to that because I have been in PTA on the other side of town, and it's a matter of one knowing what his business of doing for the PTA is concerned. is more like the auxiliary to the school, that when there are problems, he can call these people and say, how do we solve these things? I can't say that it has been effective in each school, because times have definitely changed, and the various people have changed the community. But it is from, and how we are beginning to lose the ball, I'm only speaking from Southeast San Diego, but I can still quote you the same things for various PTAs. They wonder, well, what more could we do, or how better we could put this? But it's for lack of knowledge or the time to read your information on the various duties of how more effective they could be. Our people are not doing this. They do not have the time to go to workshop meetings, because if one did these things, they would be a much more effective worker in PTA. Now, when you have PTA boards and everyone is instructed to go to these various workshop meetings, there are various excuses of why they do not go. Well, as a PTA president, you can't take them by the hand, go address them, and say, this is what you should do. Some people feel that they can take on new experiences and say, well, I really do not know this. But I cannot tell you, there is a secret. You're going to have to open the door as community people or workers or whatever the proper name should be. And that's to have some workshops to get the parents to let them know their responsibilities as a parent, and that just because the child is doing something in school, that they come up and clobber the teacher, or they come up in innocence and want some information, and maybe they do not get it, or those who have it.